Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. And nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Driveies!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah.
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, beginning of March Madness. So, Paul's doing the order. Roast beef, lettuce, tomato, mayo in the oven, please.
Oh, he threw us off there.
What's that?
Thought you were going to go smell cheese Coke.
Coke, though. So March Madness begins today, but of course we've got the next 2 hours filled with Patriots talk here on PFW in Progress, and a lot of Patriots talk to talk about.
March Madness began last week, Fred, with free agency.
That's true. Patriots had their own version of March Madness, and it's ongoing. Things are still being talked about. Big pickup yesterday in the long snapping category.
Charlie with an EY.
Yep,
Hewlett.
That continues. There's still stories going out there today about, you know, the Patriots' interest in various players. So we'll talk about all of it.
Jared Allen, though,
here,
visit number 2 in Seattle. I don't like the sounds of that.
Yeah, here in PFW in Progress. So 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 855-PATS-500. If you want to call toll-free, isn't pretty much all domestic calls toll-free these days?
Pretty much.
Well, it depends what you
have. Well, they give you an option. Right. Usually they have like a main number and then there's always an 800 or an
888. No, I mean like on most people's services like Comcast or Verizon.
It's all bundled in and you don't pay long.
You don't really
distance.
Pay much for domestic anymore,
no.
Do you?
I don't pay any.
I really do. Well,
although I pay because I just came off a bundle and I'm getting bent over by Comcast. Yeah. I got to call them.
The plan that I have, it's the same rate anywhere in the United States
that's
and Canada.
I mean.
And you have to dial the 10 digits even for a local number.
Yeah,
but you do 10 digits all the time now. You just have to get in that habit of doing it.
Oh yeah, you have to do that. Yeah. I don't think that's a provider thing. I think that became a.
That's pretty much.
That's
like
a standard thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
No
you have to dial area code. Yeah.
Yeah. Area code.
It's no longer KL 583.
Well, because before I got this plan a year ago, I didn't have
that.
I didn't have
that when I was a kid.
Before I got the new plan, I changed over like maybe a year ago. Before that,
I don't know when it was, but I'm pretty sure that's just a standard. The standard changed.
Good phone talk.
What is KL584?
Back in the day, it was
when they'd have letters and then a couple of numbers.
Oh, when you called the lady, the operator,
like in the 50s.
Operator, give me Brookline 621, please. Right.
Instead of an area code, you actually said that
you get the town, and then
I know in my lifetime in Westport, the little cow town next door to Dartmouth, you could quiet.
Westport. it's not the cosmopolitan metropolis that Dartmouth is.
You could dial 4 digits in town. You
right.
didn't have to dial the.
That's
not even
cool.
The area code, the second
it's like
digits.
Someone's extension.
Yeah, and you could just dial it in town, and it would go right to that person.
Oh, those were the days. Anyway.
Were they?
So what do we got, guys? What do you think the hot topic is right now?
I don't know. Are we talking about the hot topic?
Sure.
Well, then you bring it up, because I think it's an on-fire topic if it catches fire.
Well, are a lot of people talking about it besides us?
I don't know. I was sitting in my cube getting ready to come down. I haven't been out with the people.
Yeah, I would say the hot topic right now is the rule proposals.
Which the Patriots have made.
Bill finally took all his genius at the league ideas and actually proposed them.
There's four of them, I guess, the Patriots are involved with, and there's 20-some-odd different...
Three are good, one sucks.
...proposals slash recommendations or whatever changes. We'll find out when Eric will be representing Team PFW, PFW in Progress,
next
at the
week.
Owners' meetings next week.
I think at least two of them have a very good chance of passing without much debate.
Which...
The extension of the uprights, which just seems like that's a really easy
fix. If that's a possibility, I don't see why. I can't imagine a dissenting opinion on that.
All you need is, like, you know.
A welder.
You don't have to. Well, not even. I mean, you don't even have to have, like, new goalposts put in. You can weld them on.
I said a welder.
Or you can have little tubes that are, like, highly magnetic. And just stick them on the top.
No.
Then you've got,
No.
Yeah, because then I could see, like, it hits it, and then it falls off, and then
Or wind. Like I said, highly, so even a football could knock it off.
That's a terrible idea. That is a terrible idea. Because tragedy ensued.
Yeah, tragedy couldn't. Tragedy would ensue.
That's a terrible idea.
Why can't you just...
But just buy some new goalposts. That's all.
Great. You don't have to do it in place, Fred. You know how they're usually laying out here behind our studio?
Right.
In the off season, weld on new ones or do whatever you need to do.
Yeah, it wouldn't be
that difficult. You'd have to have a guy climb a ladder with a mask on.
With a magnet, too.
Right.
I looked right at one the other day. I just happened to look out over the construction here, and I was like, whoa. Because you know how they tell you you're not supposed to look.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
At the
I almost did that by accident the other day, too.
Because they're right outside the lobby window, and if you look at the wrong time, there's zzz, and you're blind.
Yeah, they've got the protective glass shield over
there. I used to know how to weld.
Did you?
Yeah.
How about soldering? Do you know how to solder? Like plumbing?
I've done it a little bit. I wouldn't want to do it any place where I wasn't sure there might be a leak in the future.
Yeah, solder should open up a business. Solder's soldering.
How about soldering?
But it's soldering.
It's spelled the same way. That's why I'm saying it would be a play on words.
Oh.
Solder is
said
solder.
Soldering.
Is this where Fred says, I never realized that word was pronounced solder?
You know how to solder those pegs together?
Judging by the dumbfounded look on his face, I'm going to say
so. That one seems
anyway,
like a layup.
That's an easy one that I think could easily pass without any debate.
Any
extending
plumber,
the
welder could do it.
The uprights.
Right. And the challenge one. I think as long as they keep the challenges to what they are.
Right. Two and three.
Two each half or three, whatever. And that's it. I don't see that being a problem.
Do you think that could happen for 2014 or why
yeah?
Not?
There's
really?
No change.
Sure,
there
I don't because I think it could eventually will happen, but that really takes new education for the refs. And I don't think they'll be.
What do you mean new education?
How? Well, here's what has to happen in order for you to overturn a holding call or a pass interference call or. That type of thing. And I don't think they're going to be...
See, that's the stuff that bothers me. Was it holding?
Right.
You know it was holding or
I
not.
I know, but I
if
don't
it's
think
not
that,
holding,
I
don't overturn it.
I don't
it.
Think they're going to be comfortable having the refs ready for that.
I don't care if they're comfortable.
For next season.
They make too much money
but
to be comfortable.
Minute.
Do the damn job.
Yeah, if you know... If you're a referee, you're supposed to know all the rules inside and out.
It's not a matter of knowing the rule. It's a matter of...
Oh, I don't want to step on my teammate's toes.
What is blatant pass interference? Can you define that right now?
Yep.
Sure.
My son could.
Yeah?
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, what Luke Kuechly did to Rob Gronkowski in the end zone was blatant pass interference.
That's the only thing that could happen.
No, there are a lot of things that could be blatant.
Wait.
Exactly,
don't
and
change.
Everyone knows him. Did he interfere with his ability to catch that ball unfairly?
You asked a question. I gave you an answer. Don't change the question.
Have you first time on this show?
Jeez.
I think
that's the only thing. Did I say that was the only way? The only way it could possibly be blatant pass interference.
And that's my point. There's a lot of different.
There's a lot of blatant pass interference.
Right. And you know it.
And when you see it. Yes.
And I think that it still has to be, gone over with the refs, all the different scenarios.
Is it late in the game? Is it early in the game? Is the Super Bowl on the line? Which way is the money going in Vegas? Is that all the stuff we have to do?
I don't think they're going
to
be ready.
Make the call the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I don't think something like that they'd be ready to do. For this season. I think in 2015, absolutely.
So would the Luke Kuechly play have been flagged if it were the Super Bowl?
According to the debate that they had afterwards, no.
According to what debate?
Because that's insane.
About the timing of the ball and all this stuff.
That's insane.
See, that's all the problem with all your extra time to prepare and think and explain. React. Boom.
Yeah.
Did he interfere with him? Yes. Okay. Move on.
So I just don't think – I think it's going to happen, but I don't think that'll happen for – 2015. The uprights, it's easy. Just do it.
Yeah.
Right? Just do it.
I also think that the extra point
thing. What happens
thing,
if they're like too heavy though, and then they're like fading to the sides, and they're wider, and
then they have to go back to the H shape.
Maybe.
Instead of the Y
and
shape.
And on the goal line.
Go crazy here. But I think the extra point thing.
Stupid.
Well, there could be a compromise, though. They don't necessarily have to approve what was submitted. They can change it. They can alter it. Maybe I don't understand why 43 yards was what. I mean, maybe they just wanted the line of scrimmage to be an even number.
Well, yeah, the line of scrimmage is the 25.
No, I know, but I mean, that makes it a 43-yard extra point.
Yeah, depending on where you line up for the kicker.
And everybody in the NFL does the 8 yards.
It's stupid.
Now.
I hate it. It's one of the first rules. I generally hem and haw, but this one I flat out hate. Like, I don't understand how I can drive to the 15-yard line, kick a field goal for 3 points that was 33 yards long.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to be kicking for 1 point 10 yards further away. It just doesn't – it's like the free throw being worth 3 points and then the three-pointer worth one.
Well, but at
it
the
makes
moment,
no sense to me.
Well, at the moment, there have been instances where 19-yard field goals have been
right.
Kicked.
But that's 1 yard.
Which is,
I mean, it's few and far between.
They are – yeah, but they still happen.
This is going to happen all the time with some regularity.
Which is why I think there could be a compromise where, okay, it's not going to be the 25-yard line for the line of scrimmage, but maybe you make it the 18.
I don't like the change. I just don't understand the need for change. Get back to that. Why are we changing it? Oh, because they're good at it? Oh, God forbid.
Well, to make it a more competitive
– it'd be more competitive if you put Lions on the field, too. Are we going to go that far?
Okay,
they used to do
why
that
do you always have to do that with every argument? I am 100%
trying to have a discussion.
Polio,
Ryan.
I am 100% with you. I don't think there's anything wrong with the extra point, but then I have to end up arguing with you somehow.
It worked in the Coliseum.
Well, it didn't, because that ended.
Clearly, the goal is.
Well, we're going to end, too.
The goal is to make the extra point a play now, more of an interesting play. That's it. That's
it's
just
not
the goal.
I got to be honest with you. 43-yard field goals are no more interesting to me than extra points.
Well,
I don't know why. I don't know why.
I totally agree with that.
It will be missed more often. It's not any more enjoyable or fun to watch to me. The only time a kick is exciting to me is when there's no time left and it wins a game.
But
every other kick during the game, I don't care.
If you're a team up by one, do you want the extra point from the 7-yard line or the 25-yard line or wherever it is?
Well, you want it to be as easy as possible.
Matters not to me.
That's what I mean.
But.
Right. It doesn't matter to you?
Matters not to me. I don't care about what
he's making it just as ridiculous as I did. It's a different argument,
no,
but it's just as ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
He didn't bring
it
Lions into the game.
Come on,
but,
Let's see, hold on. I want to see if I'm being stubborn. Can you repeat the question? Maybe I missed
it. It's harder to make it from 43 than.
Oh, yes. I didn't realize that's what you said. I'm sorry. It's harder to make it from 43 than.
So if you're up by one, you'd rather have it.
I thought we were talking about interest level. I don't have any more interest level than a 43-yard field goal.
But when it's harder, you should be more interested.
It alters the interest.
I'm saying the interest level for me is not any.
So wait a minute.
I don't care to watch field goals. I don't like them.
I don't either.
So if you want to ban them all together, then ban them all together. I don't think it's fair.
I'm for that.
I don't think it's fair to kickers. I think it's part of the game.
So you don't think it's interesting if there's a team that is down by seven, they score a touchdown with 10 seconds to go, and they line up for a 43-yard extra point, there's a really better than average chance that there's
a 95% chance that he will make that kick. That's what the statistics tell us.
Is that what it is, 95? You're not making that up?
Field goals from inside field goals from inside of 45 yards are made at an astronomical rate.
Well,
make it a 55-yarder if you want to make it so it misses.
90 to 45?
Right.
The literature we got.
I think Eric is right.
Literature.
From the league yesterday.
90, he said.
90 to 95%. Is that what
you
said?
No, it went from 99% to 90.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm
at that distance.
To get the letter of the law, I am
10% more interested?
Not even.
No,
not
nine
even.
Actually.
Nine.
But I'm not more interested in it because it's not an exciting play to me. Like this whole thing, it's an exciting play.
So
it's
it only
not
becomes exciting
play.
If the guy does miss.
If the scenario that you unfolded.
But the excitement is in the possibility of the
but
miss.
But I'm just as excited
exist.
To watch the extra point. Now, is there a bigger chance that you could miss it from 43? Yes. But I'm just as excited if there's no time on the clock and the team's down one and they have to kick the extra point. I have to watch it. Otherwise, if it's any other time of the game, I don't have to watch the 43-yarder any more than I have to watch the 20-yarder.
Oh,
it's
going
to get made.
Okay, so
it's going to get made.
So forget about the specific
Lions.
Of the 43. Who here is in favor of making the extra point more of a play?
Challenging play?
Challenging
I
play.
Am.
Eric raises his hand. Paul?
Not me.
You don't care.
I don't
Andy, you don't care either.
I love the NFL game. I don't need to gimmickize it.
I don't care either. I'd say either take it out. Or keep it the way it is. You know,
take it out completely.
Yeah,
I'd be okay with that though.
So you're going to that 7-point automatic, and then if you go for two, you can lose a point.
Do you lose the point because then that's just eliminating the 2-point conversion, unless the team is down two with
no
time.
See, I like
the
2-point conversion though. So I would leave it at 7.
Do you know what I'm saying? No one's ever going to go for 2
unless they really need to. Yeah.
Well, what if after every touchdown, which is 6 points, it's always a 2-point conversion, and that's your extra
point? I'd be okay with that.
I mean,
for 1 point or 2?
For 2.
For 2.
I suppose it's the same. No one ever goes for 2 now. I mean, it's this. I guess you have to take the weight. You can't just give them 7. I suppose I just talked myself out of that because no one's. You lose the point now if you go for 2 and you don't get it. You lose the point. So I guess if you did that, you have to go for 2, or you only counts for 6.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just take it out and it counts for 7.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could be persuaded on that too.
I don't like change.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with any of those tweaks to the rule.
Okay.
I just don't understand this foregone
conclusion right now.
And I don't understand why that's bad. You know what? Do 4th and 1s get converted at the same rate? Like 4th and an inch?
I always get excited over a 4th and 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But they get converted over 99% of the time.
I don't think that's the case.
No. 4th and an inch?
Well, and an inch, that's different than 4th and 1. Like an actual 4th and 1.
Is it not?
It's still exciting,
but there's always a difference between fourth and inch.
In a shootout in hockey, if all of a sudden 99.9% of the time the guy scored on the goalie, they'd have to do something, you know? If a play happens that frequently, then you need to tweak something.
Listen, if
I'm a traditionalist.
I had never heard one person say one thing about an extra point until Bill Belichick mentioned it last year. I had never heard anybody who ever watched football say, you know what, I really can't stand about football, but all it takes is one person to state the obvious, and then people, my point is it's not this widespread thing that it's now being portrayed as. It's a guy who has a lot of clout, who said something, and in this area he can say no wrong, so everybody now thinks it's gospel.
It has to be so personal.
He's fighting.
I mean, it's not just this area that's saying, hey, yeah, that does need to be changed.
Right. If Rich Kotite said it, no one would be talking about it. It would be still one person saying it. I don't know how you can ignore the fact that it's coming from such a respected coach.
I don't think he was the only person, and I don't think he was the first person to talk about
it. I think he was the first person to talk about it. He may not be the only one.
The ease of the extra point.
But not talking about the ease of the extra point, just the necessity of eliminating it. He was the first person that I ever heard talk about that. Now, maybe I wasn't paying attention. Maybe this is something that's been talked about a lot.
We tend not to pay attention to things outside our area, but
I had never heard anybody talk about how boring extra points are. Never heard anybody say
Oh, God. I've heard that. I've never heard it. Oh, sure. See, once again, you're on your little radio that I don't know. You don't listen to the same things that we listen to.
Before last year, I'm not talking about on the radio. I'm talking about people talk about football.
No, this is the fictional radio.
Yes, before last year, I've heard people say that, the extra point's a boring play.
Then get rid of them. Get rid of running players off tackle.
Well,
they're boring.
What?
Get rid of them.
Are you saying?
There's a lot of boring plays in a football game. There's about 5 or 10 plays.
He's in a mood today.
No, but there are about 5 or 10 plays that are exciting. Should we get rid of the rest of them?
So to your point about because it happens often, just because it happens often doesn't mean it should be changed. If touchdowns were being scored at a 99% rate, don't you think they would make some changes to the rules?
Yeah, they'd be doing cartwheels down the street. That's what they want.
No, that's arena football, and no one likes it.
I don't think that they would. I don't think the league would allow touchdowns to be scored on 99% of plays. I don't think they would let that stand. As much as they love scoring,
but since we've been around 100 years and that hasn't happened, we don't have to worry about it.
No, but you said just because it happens. Well, if it happened in that case, they would change the rules.
In Andy's defense, that's not much different. You both used that example. If something was being scored at that rate, that's not much different than his Lions thing. It's a preposterous hypothetical.
Yeah.
A touchdown being scored 99.9% of the time.
Well, do you think that, I think back in the early 1900s when they had the extra point, they expected it to be... I think that back then, if somebody said, oh, this is going to be scored 99.9%, they'd be like, that's preposterous.
All right,
it's not going to be.
So what was the success rate when what was the success rate 30 years ago?
I don't know.
Well, ask Gino.
As a guess.
I have no idea.
72%.
Aren't you guessing that it's more like 96% and now it's 99.9%?
I don't know.
I really have no idea.
And that's the thing. This particular issue, if it's divided, then just leave it the way it is. I mean, it's not really worth wasting time.
It doesn't sound like it's divided. It sounds like you guys are right, and there's people that evidently have. It's the bane of the NFL existence.
Yeah,
get it out.
Because I'm asked an opinion, but
I don't care enough about
really
an extra point.
I don't care that much about it.
Okay, let's move on then.
Yeah. So what's the other proposals?
Poor kickers.
The other ones are, well, we talked about the uprights, the challenge.
Yep.
The moving of the extra point.
Right.
The cameras on the goal line.
Cameras on the goal line, which Bill has talked about for
That's another one that's
a number of years.
It makes sense, but it's the devil's in the details there because
I also don't like they've proposed six. To me, it should be eight. Like, I don't think one camera on the sideline is enough. The field's too long. I think you need cameras on both ends.
You would need two. You would need two on every corner of the end zone.
Yeah, they're not proposing six cameras.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying
they're proposing sideline, sideline, end line, back line, end line, back line,
and not one overhead.
One, no. Two.
Oh, it's so sideline, sideline, goal line, back line, goal line, back line. Six cameras. I think the sidelines need two. Because there's too much distance to say
to
where
say
this
where
camera is
on the other side.
That there's not going to be bench players, right. Officials. I need one on each end.
Right,
absolutely.
And
I would prefer one on each.
I would want 16. I would want two on each corner in both end zones.
16 cameras?
Two on each corner in both end zones.
16 cameras.
Eight.
Yeah,
see,
two on each corner in both end
that's
zones.
That's pretty expensive.
Because, well, but also I think
I
there's
know,
a bigger
they'll be able
issue.
To afford it. Maybe if they get rid of the extra point, they'll be able to afford it.
Oh, maybe.
That seems to be really dropping down the advertising
money. The bigger
money.
Issue
Paul
to me is
really pissy today.
What is
right?
wrong with him?
The advertising money is really
I think the
low.
Bigger issue is going to be you have these stationary hard objects that are going to be very close to the field of play, and now you have to deal with players diving out of bounds,
right.
Getting hurt, tripping
and the
over
further
them,
away they are,
them.
The more chance someone's going to get in the way of the view.
Getting in the way,
right.
Having
especially
them,
when it's 120 yards that way.
Right.
Now, if one of them's broken, do you have to take all of them out?
Right.
Right.
So I think that one has...
That's why we go to lasers
the devil's
and
the details there.
That's why we go strictly to lasers and grids and a sensor in the ball and all that.
Yeah.
Skip the stupid camera. That's going to be old school.
I haven't read the detail that you guys have about this, but why can't you just have cameras the way that they have cameras now? You know, they're not in danger of getting knocked out, but they have them permanently situated in the spots that Andy said.
But I guess they're not good enough. They need...
Wait,
cameras.
But they don't have cameras now to start with.
No, I know. But why not have the camera? They have the cameras on the sideline that shoot the game, that move up and down the
right,
game.
Right, they have the trolley.
Why can't they have cameras that are right on that goal line? So you get that goal line, but they're not necessarily in the field of play where they're going to get hit.
They're like 5 or 6, 10 yards behind it, you mean?
Yeah,
like
on the side. Off
then,
outside.
Well,
then
but
then you really have to
end
traffic.
Line one, and I don't know where you would put them all.
Then you have to traffic, you know, people walking
and,
in front
and
of
I don't
them.
Know,
and
are they on
there.
Permanent fixtures? Are they hanging? Are they suspended? Are they
so they can't be in those trolleys, is what you're saying.
Well, the sideline
the
one.
The sideline one, yeah.
But you can't have those trolleys in the end.
Okay, why? That's my
because you now have one for the goal line, one for the end line, and one for the sideline. They're all in the same area.
Okay, so where are they suggesting that they put them?
I
have
no
idea. Do it just like they are doing it now.
I have no idea, but now you have one massive trolley that goes up and down the sideline.
I'll give
and
you
even
an
that
example.
Hits people.
What I don't
every
like.
Once in a while, a guy gets run over, or a guy gets hit by that, or they have a problem with that.
What I don't
have
like
to make
now.
The camera smaller to, and have them move around.
And they've made the bench and sideline areas as small as possible in a lot of these new stadiums to accommodate X, but get the fans as close as possible as well. And now you're adding to that.
Yeah, at the problem to me with the whole replay thing in general is that not all the games are covered the same way, and I think that needs to be uniform.
That is a problem.
You know, the Sunday night game has that NBC it, which clearly makes like some of those sideline plays absolutely definitive that the regular 1 o'clock games sometimes don't have.
Yeah, but the refs aren't allowed to use that.
Well, they should be.
I know, but they aren't.
But I'm saying that
but
they
that's
should
a
have
flaw.
To,
we
they
use
have
the TV production
for all of them
for replay, but we don't use all of it.
Right.
Well, why?
But
it's not uniform in any game because the Jags against the whoevers don't get the same crew as
that's
the
what
Patriots.
That's
versus
exactly
the
what I'm talking about. There's not as many cameras.
So that's a problem.
The Schlepp game of the week.
That's why they do it. The lowest common denominator.
But I don't think they do because there's more cameras for the national game than there
no,
is.
No, I know.
For
but
the
they say denominator. That you know whatever the lowest is, that's what you use. Whatever, and there is a minimum that the league requires from the network.
Yeah, but
no, I know.
But that's not fair.
Well, that's
there should be a maximum allowed as
no,
well.
No, no, no. There should be a minimum allowed because you can't have less than these cameras.
No, I know, but it should be the same for every game. All the games are supposed to be the same in importance.
Right. That's why they don't allow to use over that minimum.
All right. Andy, I'm being deemed pissy. Can you explain to him?
Well, you're in a bit of a mood today.
Can you explain to him that some games don't have the same amount of cameras as others and forget about my NBC?
And those extra cameras aren't allowed to be used.
That's not true.
That's not true. There are more cameras used. I don't know about the NBC at the specific
maybe that one is a different technology.
But it's not true that the A-team of Nance and whatever game doesn't use some of the cameras they have. They use all of them. That isn't available at the Jaguars.
The refs use them?
Yes, the broadcast. They have more options available.
I was under the understanding that they couldn't use all of them.
I do not believe that is the case. My understanding
is... I don't believe that's the case
either.
There
are more cameras available for the marquee games, the national games. I don't know the NBC. I'm not talking specifically about that technology.
Right.
But there are more cameras available for the big games.
More cameras available to the officiating crew.
Yes, that are piped into the... Whatever.
Now, your specific example that I cited about NBC, you may be right about that, that they can't use that particular technology.
Also, doesn't bother me anyway. I would say use it all.
I think use
you
it all.
You want to have the
NBC? If it's available,
Be a good team and be an important
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
If it's available and
use the best
see it,
you have.
Use it.
I'm sorry if you suck and we screw you a little bit because we don't have this, but we're going to use what's available. Right,
I think everything should be available to every game. It's not, to me, that hard.
Well, there's but I don't 30, even care about that.
There's
if
only
it's
32
available
stadiums.
At the game, it should be used. I'm not saying we have to have NBC at all 32 stadiums, but if it's at the game, it should be used. Right? I mean, it makes no sense to...
Sure.
You go to the hospital and they have something that can help you, but we can't use it on you for some stupid reason. Why?
But you know how they are. It's all about equal playing field. Everybody...
Well, it's not an equal playing field.
If you put heaters on your sideline...
Your team sucks. That's why it's in the bad game.
You have to put heaters on the other sideline. If you put... You know, a fan on your sideline,
no,
it has to be
but
the
both,
same on the other
no, no,
sideline.
No, no, no. Both teams have the same.
Exactly.
Both teams in
no,
the game
I know, I know.
Have the same. It's not
but
an unfair advantage
the way
for one
they
team.
Think about everything, you know, game,
they think about things in an improper
game,
way a lot.
Sideline to sideline.
Old school NFL thinking is flawed.
Who's pissy now?
Well, just because they're not the experts.
Now?
They've screwed up a lot of things over the years and will continue to screw up a lot of things. We can't just say they know more and they have it the right way. They don't.
$10 billion.
A monkey could have made 10 billion.
Just saw on ESPN.
With a lion chasing him.
Edward are reporting that Jared Allen is making a second visit to Seattle.
He's gone.
Not good for the Patriots.
The dream is dead.
Yeah.
Release those rooms we had booked in Phoenix.
Okay.
Hadn't booked them yet.
According to my source, it's all but a done deal in Seattle.
You have a source?
Yes, and you have the same source.
Yes, often.
I'm assuming he'll be calling in later. Yeah.
Somebody is writing in, let me see, what is this? Patrick from Agawam says, during EEI yesterday, the Michael Holly show, Jerry Thornton from Barstool said something to the effect that he knows someone who claims that Vince Wilfork restructure extension is all done and they're just waiting to announce it.
Good for him.
What do you think?
Have
you
no
heard
idea.
Anything along those lines?
I've not heard anything along those lines.
I haven't either.
I'm not disputing it, but I haven't heard it.
I heard someone who said John Abraham had his contract signed already.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
what gender was the reporter that did that, Andy?
Female.
Okay.
And it makes a difference to you.
It does?
Oh, no. No, no, no. I don't put Jerry Thornton any higher than that female. I don't.
But that's such a nasty, like, slam it.
Really, just nailing everybody. You know, check,
you want to make $5 the hard
emails.
Way?
Is he better in writing than he is on the radio?
Yeah.
I'm told that he's like the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Because on the radio, he has not entertained
me.
He
has no take at all, no opinion.
Has not entertained me one bit on the radio yet. I will give you the benefit of the doubt. You love him, Fred. You read him
and
all the time.
You know, is this jealousy? Maybe it is. Andy and I, we you know, we just go on and we
toil away.
Now the other two, now seemingly the two radio stations were in a pissing contest to continue with the word of the day over his services. Now he's been banned from the Sports Hub because he appeared on EEI.
Andy's on Glenn too, right? Unfiltered.
Yeah, you were on the Sports Hub yesterday.
I was.
How was it?
It was good. I invited myself.
Yeah.
Just stop by.
Yeah.
No, was
any arguments?
Were you late?
No.
It was Beadle and Maserati,
like
right?
20 off.
Felger wasn't there.
No Felger yesterday, so I got to talk, which was fun.
Yeah, that's good.
Is it Wick Grousbeck?
Yeah.
It is? Because I've always heard everyone call him Grousbeck. And Tony introduced him as like three times as Grousbeck.
I like how he said the owner, and he goes, co-owner will do.
So what was their hot topic, Paul? Were they?
We were talking a lot about the arms race.
Yeah.
Denver and the Patriots.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I had said that I think it's, you know, it's pretty even. And then, you know, maybe Denver still has a slight edge in overall talent. And, Tony goes, exactly. And I go, oh, wait a minute. The Sports Hub thinks that the other team is better than the Patriots? There's a stunning development.
But it's kind of cool that you slid into the Felger role where you said something and Tony just 100% agreed. I don't see any other way to look at it, Paul.
That is correct.
What are the other people being rumored here? I mean,
Deshaun Jackson.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have a chance to talk about that.
Yeah, that was a rumor.
Paul,
that's
a wide receiver. He plays for the Eagles, bit of a playmaker.
And that was one that Tony and I argued
on. It got to
he doesn't
point,
want any
guess,
part of him.
I
don't either.
I guess when Chip Kelly had to call him and kind of talk him off the ledge a little bit. Is that true? That's what I heard?
I don't know. He's a sensitive
that,
type.
But,
yeah. He'll probably sulk through four games, not catch any touchdowns,
emotional.
And then turn
he
it on.
He would be the most talented receiver
still be the best
on the
receiver
roster
the
if he came here.
Oh, God, yes.
But I don't want to deal with him.
Now, Paul, you talked he has some on-field kind of issues, but I heard that he was caught in his apartment with a pile of cash and guns.
Oh, yeah, he got robbed.
He got robbed
guns.
Of stuff, and not necessarily cash, but stuff worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I guess they found semi-automatic weapons.
And according to the borderline racist reporter from Philadelphia,
Michael Barkan,
he's into the
rap
culture.
Rap culture.
He's all tatted up, guns. Like he made comments that I didn't feel were appropriate. They didn't seem right.
So if you're into the rap culture and he's tatted
right,
up,
you like
don't like
rap
that.
Culture. If you
this
like
is,
rap
way,
music and have tattoos, you're somehow
Aaron Hernandez.
And this is a guy,
example,
by the way. No, he says that the Eagles don't. The Eagles don't like Deshaun Jackson.
No. Yeah,
this guy was
implying that if you have tattoos and like rap, you're in some way a bad person.
And this is a guy who's done a lot with, like, you know, mentoring programs and anti-bullying campaigns in Philadelphia.
Now, I don't go that far. I don't think he's a saint. I think he's a bit of a PR machine.
Yeah, he's done that.
I didn't say he was a saint,
yeah,
but
no,
I'm
he's
saying
a PR machine.
He's, you know, he's a tatted up rap culture guy, but they don't mention the fact that he's doing these other things.
But
I'm
what's
not calling
the deal
him a saint.
With semi-automatic weapons?
He had them.
So, you know, that kind of suspicious.
I don't know.
Okay, you want to get rid of all your guys with semi-automatic weapons?
I think I'd like to get rid of all the semi-automatic weapons from the guys.
Okay, but that can't
this just
happen.
It became a political discussion, not a Patriots one.
I would actually
wrong with that, though.
I would actually concur with Fred on that. I think the world would be a better place if we could get rid of all of that.
What does semi-automatic
actually
mean?
I'm going to get back to reality and say that I can't do that.
What does semi-automatic actually mean?
It means that when you pull the trigger, you can keep pulling. You know,
but
you can't
hold
press it down.
You can't
No, but you can just keep pressing the trigger and it just.
That's automatic, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when
not
you just
semi?
Hold it down and it just keeps coming out. Right.
But yeah, I agree with you. I don't want any of my guys. But let's face it, it's.
Yeah, I just don't want my guys having
life.
Guns. I mean,
guns don't kill people.
There's nothing
Fred.
You can
people
do about
people.
It.
I know there isn't anything you do. I just don't like the mindset of that I need a semi automatic rifle because I'm an NFL player.
Well, I don't know if we said rifle, so.
Whatever it is, you know?
I don't know what he had.
I love the words, though, like assault. I don't know what that really
is. But I heard there was also a pile of cash.
The original report was cash,
and
then it was
maybe
it was merchandise that was worth the amount of cash they said he had.
Oh, okay.
Now, even if he had cash, what
does it matter to me?
Well, it does. I mean, if I have loose cash lying around,
he got his house broken into.
What's that all about?
Then you're Mike Shanahan. He's not tatted up, and he doesn't like the rap culture.
I question what the
money.
Hell he was doing, too, with his
okay, well, let's just
with
be
his
fair.
Passport.
Were they joking that that's where Ed Reed's money was?
Yeah. Now, I don't have any interest in Deshaun Jackson, but I don't want to go down the road of, like, he's Aaron Hernandez because he likes rap culture and whatever. Like, there's a difference. There's
I don't
a lot
have,
of guys that like rap culture and have tattoos.
I don't have any interest in Deshaun Jackson on his contract.
If you were vetting him, if you were Nick Casario or whoever does that here, and you're thinking of signing him, would you ask him, what was the deal with all
oh,
this?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
You'd want to know.
That's I'd ask him the deal on everything, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd want to know. What
but
the hell's going
I'm
on?
I'm a little Bill Belichick-like, and my biggest issue is his on the field, when he picks and chooses to sulk and play right. and not play, and when is the next time you're going to be unhappy with your contract? Because anyone who trades for him is probably going to ask him to redo his contract. He's got $30 million over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
How do we know that you're committed and you're not going to hold us over a barrel like you held the Eagles over a barrel a couple of years ago?
Right. No doubt he's a playmaker. Great
oh, yeah.
Talent,
I mean, 17 yards a catch in his career, 1,300 yards last year. He can make some plays. He's a dynamic little player. That's another thing. I have this little thing that, you know, maybe I'm just Randy Moss jaded, but my literally elite receivers that I'm going to bend over backwards to coddle are tall. Yeah. They're Calvin Johnson. They are Randy Moss. And these little guys
because
bother me.
Because they have the ability to do things that a
right.
little guy can't do.
I think sometimes the little guys can be taken out.
Yeah.
They're dynamic, but they don't have as many options in their, you know,
especially
tool shed.
If you're going up against a guy like Richard Sherman or Brandon Browner, who is
potentially 7 or 8 inches taller than you,
right,
and is defending you.
Right. So to pay $10 million and say this is the guy, eh.
According to strippers, the burglars pried open a safe and took $200,000 in cash.
Oh, it's in a safe.
$125,000 worth of jewelry and a 9mm Ruger handgun that were inside the safe.
Yeah,
was also missing.
I'm just going on what Barkan said. It originally was reported as that, but it wasn't that.
Okay.
But maybe Barkan was wrong. I mean, he's just a reporter. What does he know? He's like us.
A bit biased.
Well, yeah, evidently.
Them kids with their damn rap music.
But I agree with Andy. I wouldn't want any part of him with that contract. And if you're going to redo a contract, you have to have some sort of assurance that he's happy with it. Now, there's no way I would pay him $30 million and then not know if he's going to be committed. But I would absolutely, if I could get him on a deal that I'm happy with, if I'm Bill Belichick and it's a contract that I am satisfied with, I would take
it. Oh, if I can get him on like a 1 year, $3 million deal, hand him over like a prove it contract.
Yeah, I'm not. That's not going to happen.
He has no leverage, but that's not the situation.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Nolan in California. Hey, Nolan.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Yo.
Getting back to Revis, because I still can't believe he's on the New England Patriots. Why do people think he's going to stay for 1 year?
Because that's kind of, he's, you know.
25 million reasons.
Latest of the things. There's no way the Patriots are going to pay him what the contract says.
Right.
They're not going to give him $20 million.
He would have
a
$25 million cap hit if they just played out the contract.
So the way the contract reads, it forces the Patriots to have to make a decision next year.
And by the way, I was inaccurate. While the bonus money is due April 1st, the decision is made prior to the end of the league year.
Uh-huh.
So there is no strange window in there.
Right.
It's just a strange
window. This is when they have to actually pay him.
Execute the payment.
Right.
And do you think, Bill Belichick had that mindset going into free agency? You know, a lot of people were doubting him. You know, he doesn't really pay enough players. Do you think he kind of had that mindset of aggressiveness? And does he still keep that mindset in the draft?
Well,
you mean like moving up or whatever?
Yeah, like moving up to get like maybe probably not like a Sammy Watkins, but maybe like a Mike Evans.
I don't know. I just don't think they have a lot of ammunition, you know, to move up. So
to me, I think it was all about Darrell Revis.
Yeah.
I don't think it was necessary. And we talked a lot about that yesterday, too. You know, is this a sign that they're recognizing that the window is closing and they're getting more aggressive? That might be part of it. They might look at it. But to me, this is about Darrell Revis.
It's about Darrell Revis and about
a special guy that was available.
Defend the pass.
But when was it about Darrell Revis? Like, how did I
think they wanted? I think they wanted to lead back. We know that.
So you don't think there was like a bag job? They knew Revis was available and they were going to have a really good chance.
I know that's the way a lot of people have portrayed this. I don't personally believe that. Do you?
So then I don't think they were overly aggressive.
Yeah, because I mean, if Tlaib had said, "Okay, I like your offer," then that's it.
What do you think?
But that, I think, would have been aggressive. To make sure you re-sign and keep Tlaib, I would also include just being aggressive. You kept your prime free
agent. Well, I think they were trying to. I mean, we had the offer, the report that he was offered 4 for $40 million.
Right.
I mean, that's aggressive.
No, that's what I mean.
But I think that.
But other people think that Revis was, you know,
a lot of people think this
a year
was the
in
plan,
the works.
And I don't think this was the plan.
Thanks
it might have
call,
been Darrell Revis's plan.
So then you weren't being overly aggressive. Because if you lose Tlaib and didn't get Revis, now your pants are down. Right? Because now all of a sudden you're trying to sell me on Brandon Browner being a number one corner when he gets here in week 5. And A, he isn't. And B, your number one corner shouldn't get here in week 5.
Oh, yeah.
So there's luck involved here.
Well, there was
fortune.
A little bit of luck, but I also think that, you know, aggressiveness is part of it, but also desperation. I mean, they needed a cornerback.
But no, because desperation, in my opinion, is to trade for Revis. That's desperation. You didn't get so desperate where you traded for him. You waited for him to hit the open market, and then you signed him at a deal that's palatable to you.
But maybe, you know, maybe they had a wink, wink, nod, nod agreement with the agent that said, look, if you hear the team come back to you with, you know, they're going to trade, we'll do something. So one way or another, we want your player. The agent doesn't care about trading because he doesn't take an advantage out over draft picks. He'd rather the guy be released and you'd be able to negotiate a new contract or whatever.
So the
Patriots could have been comfortable waiting that out because they know that the agent's going to get back to him if there's a trade in the works, and then they could go in and give more or match it or whatever.
But wouldn't the agent want to just keep the existing $16 million contract?
You know, possibly.
Because then there is a benefit to trade.
But in this case, isn't this better for Revis, what happened?
Well, he gets less money, but he gets free again.
Right.
But he could have been free again next year on that contract.
Yeah.
It was a series of one-year deals, essentially.
But he also maybe has more of a chance at playoffs and
Well, yeah,
Super
but
Bowls
now
and...
you get into...
Yeah.
I mean, if he's being honest and 26 teams called, you had a chance to not get him.
Well, all I'm saying is that there might have been a scenario in which it wasn't as much of a risk for the Patriots to wait for him to be released.
I think it was pretty risky. Like Seattle, if Seattle calls and gives you the same deal, he doesn't go to Seattle so he can fight Sherman on the practice field every day?
Yeah.
I mean, 26 teams. You're not just including crappy teams and, oh, well, we were the one good team. I mean, as much as he wants to win, don't tell me there weren't other teams in the 26 that he could have won with.
I mean, the report in Denver is that they offered him, before Tlaib.
26 teams mean only five weren't. So that means there's a good chance Seattle and San Francisco and whoever else you think the best teams in football are were probably interested.
So you think the Patriots just got lucky?
I think there was some good fortune. I do.
Yeah, and I don't want to just chalk it up. It's not luck. It's not like drafting Brady in the sixth round. It's more than luck. It's part of what they've built, put them in a position to be the winner of the 2016 sweepstakes, if like what Andy's talking about. So it's not just luck. But I think that there's been sort of a portrayal of this, and I kind of agree with the way Andy just put all that, that this was kind of like, you know, this is the way we want, this is what we thought, I'm not necessarily sure that that's exactly what they had in mind going into free agency. Well, we're probably going to lose Tlaib. We'll try to get Tlaib back. We're probably going to lose him, but then we'll just sign Revis because he's going to be available. I don't think that was the plan. I think that they reacted well. I think they were proactive when an opportunity, and that's why I don't necessarily look at it as some sort of a page turn to aggression. I think that they recognize that this is a special player who became available under special circumstances, and they came through. The other 26 teams could have done it.
Is there any shot in hell that had they gotten Tlaib to take whatever they wanted to give him, that they also would have pursued Revis on what is essentially a one-year deal?
I would hope. I would
have both guys?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope they would, Andy. I would hope they
would.
I don't know that they would, but I would hope.
Out of the realm of possibility.
No, not at all.
He has a $7 million cap figure.
I mean,
you can structure a contract with Tlaib, a longer-term deal, to have a relatively low first-year cap figure.
And the more details come out about the Tlaib contract, the less lucrative that deal is.
But I'm going to
say, like a two-year, $18 million
if the Patriots gave him 4 for $40 million, and it's a pretty legit deal, there is still a way you could structure that so you could have Revis and Tlaib on the one contract, 1 year.
Right.
So, if we are right in that this wasn't a bag job, and maybe there's a chance they would have had both.
Maybe.
Imagine that.
And maybe that's why they went after Browner, because that was kind of their plan, is to have two, you know, better cornerbacks than they've had, so you know, right
that,
now.
That's great, though.
Yeah.
It works for me. The end result is fine with me. I told you, my one fear all along is that Brandon Browner was going to be sold to me as your number one corner. That, I'm not buying. Anything else you can sell me on once you had Revis or even once you had Tlaib, that Browner's my big physical number two and we have versatility, blah, blah, blah. So it all works for me. If I told you, just get Jared Allen. Very simple. Get Jared Allen and I'll book my ticket.
James DeMeo writes in, what do you think about the Patriots signing Sean Phillips? They need a solid veteran to add to the Jones-Ninkovich rotation. Phillips is coming off a 10-sack season in last year. Coming off a 9.5-sack season, he signed a $1 million deal with the Broncos. Seems logical that the Patriots could get him for something similar, especially now that he's a year older at 33.
I don't know why, but I don't like Sean Phillips. I just don't really have all that much.
No?
I don't think he's all that good.
Doesn't put much fear in when you hear
I think
that.
He's a guy who got 10 sacks a couple years in a row.
I'd take
not
him.
A 10-sack guy.
I'd take a guy. Take
I would take him.
But
I'd
take a guy who just got 10 sacks in addition
to
Chandler.
To me, the fall off from Allen to Phillips is like, you know.
Oh, he's not.
It's a cliff.
He's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's the road runner in the
I would still sign him. If you lose Allen to the Seahawks, or as it looks like that could be
I'd rather have him than Andre Carter.
Yeah, I would.
But
I would rather have Jared Allen.
I want Jared Allen. I think Jared Allen can be one of your best defensive players for a short period here. Mixed in with everybody else. I think Steve Phillips is a Sean, not the GM for the Mets who likes to diddle interns. I think Sean Phillips is just the guy who would fit in with your overall core.
All right, Brent has an interesting question. We're going to get to that after the break.
He says,
can you explain to me how the NFL and the commissioner could fine or discipline an owner of an NFL team? He's not an employee of the NFL. Rather, he's an owner of a team. Can you explain? We're going to get into that, the whole Ursay thing, right after this.
Do you know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed. Where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. Get to know your bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Hey, Boston, spring is almost here, and before you know it, our world champion Red Sox will be back at Fenway Park. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the lowest prices, all with our 200% guarantee. Right now, Ace has your tickets to all games, including opening day, marathon weekend, and the Yankees. Ace Ticket, the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket.
Hey rookie, I'm Coach B here to get everyone ready for the Bacardi O-Kart Challenge. What is it? It's your time to see what spice rum is supposed to taste like and your chance to step your game up. You'll only find a challenge like this from Bacardi O-Kart. But enough talk. Hustle over to OkartChallenge.com. Only if you're a real contender. Bacardi O-Kart, smooth and spiced. What spiced rum should taste like. Drink with honor and responsibility. Copyright 2013 Bacardi USA Inc., Coral Gables, Florida.
The boys are back. The 2014 season of New England Revolution Soccer kicks off on March 22nd when the Revs welcome Vancouver Whitecaps FC to Foxborough. After last year's run to the playoffs, Diego Fagundes, Kellen Rowe, and the rest of the Revs are ready to take on the best MLS has to offer. Get your seat for the action now. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net.
When most restaurants talk about deals, they talk about price. Actually, they usually yell about it, or turn it into some kind of song. But a deal is only as good as what you're getting. Like the Papagino's $8 deal. The price is great, but the pizza is even better. See, when you buy any large pizza, you can get up to three large cheese pizzas for $8 each. Three large Papagino's pizzas? That's some good stuff. And see, we didn't even have to yell. Papagino's.
Do you know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed. Where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. Get to know your bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Hey, Boston, spring is almost here, and before you know it, our world champion Red Sox will be back at Fenway Park. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the lowest prices, all with our 200% guarantee. Right now, Ace has your tickets to all games, including opening day, marathon weekend, and the Yankees. Ace Ticket, the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket.
Hey rookie, I'm Coach B here to get everyone ready for the Bacardi O-Kart Challenge. What is it? It's your time to see what spice rum is supposed to taste like and your chance to step your game up. You'll only find a challenge like this from Bacardi O-Kart. But enough talk. Hustle over to OkartChallenge.com. Only if you're a real contender. Bacardi O-Kart, smooth and spiced. What spiced rum should taste like.
Drink with honor and responsibility. Copyright 2013 Bacardi USA Inc., Coral Gables, Florida.
The boys are back. The 2014 season of New England Revolution Soccer kicks off on March 22nd when the Revs welcome Vancouver Whitecaps FC to Foxborough. After last year's run to the playoffs, Diego Fagundes, Kellen Rowe, and the rest of the Revs are ready to take on the best MLS has to offer. Get your seat for the action now. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net.
When most restaurants talk about deals, they talk about price. Actually, they usually yell about it, or turn it into some kind of song. But a deal is only as good as what you're getting. Like the Papagino's $8 deal. The price is great, but the pizza is even better. See, when you buy any large pizza, you can get up to 3 large cheese pizzas for $8 each. 3 large Papagino's pizzas? That's some good stuff. And see, we didn't even have to yell. Papagino's.
Heard of Growing Up Gronk, but now comes the tell-all book of the Perillo family.
We were going to go drink. I might not have any use the rest of the day.
From the storied authors of Northeastern Football, An Extinct Dynasty, and The Best Places to Drink Diet Pepsi in Everett, comes Growing Up Perillo.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
Be there through Northeastern Husky glory.
It was a very big night in Northeastern sports. I won't go into the details because I won't bore you. 1982, my father was at the Garden for the hockey championships that Northeastern won, and I'm home watching them play in the first round of the NCAA basketball, which they won. And my brother got out.
Paul, you cover the basketball. We'll take the hockey.
No, my brother went out and got arrested that night. So my mother had to do all of the stuff. She had to go down and get him, and they had to get the car from a tow lot. My mother was unbelievably incensed. So I know I got about 30 seconds to celebrate with my father when he comes home before all hell's going to break loose. So I come running out of my
little
room.
Angel, right?
And I'm jumping up and down, high-fiving right. My father, and I go, all right, got to go. And I ran back in the room.
Rich.
And all you heard was, it was like Joe Pesci, and just once I wanted to be big. Pow, bing, oh, wow. Boom.
You've disgraced the Perillo family, not to mention the whole Husky community.
Treasured father-son time.
My brother was going back and forth with my father, and it was one of those, you know, open your mouth one more time, and I'm going to let you have it. My brother was actually in the shower, and he didn't think my father could see him, and he just opened his mouth. My father laid him out through the shower curtain. One shot, right in the jaw, went down. As my brother tells the story, I'm lying nude in the jaw. Classic.
And other fond memories of the Perillo boys.
You know, my grandmother used to live with us when we, you know, when she was still alive. She used to, all of a sudden, she'd have these attacks of conscience. She'd be like the old Italian grandmother, you know, had to be all worried. And my brother was in trouble for something. My father was all over him, and he hit him. And she got all nervous, and she calls up Aunt Camilla. You know Aunt Camilla from famous stories. They're sisters. So she calls up, she goes, oh, Allie's beating the living out of him, but I'll tell you, he deserved it, though.
Growing Up Perillo, flying off bookshelves everywhere. Order yours now by calling 855-PATS-500 or placing your order via email to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. The gang's all here. Chris is in the booth. Chris Ferrer.
Yeah, is the monkey ever coming back?
I don't know. He might have been on,
say 2 weeks.
He might have been on flight 777.
That's not the
for
flight.
All we know.
That's not the flight number.
What is it?
It was a 777.
Oh,
it was 370.
It turned into something else.
Yes, an anchor. Did you see those pictures?
I'm pretty sure that's not right.
Did you see the pictures though of the new thing off the coast of Australia?
Yeah.
They have this arrow pointing to object 79.
Debris.
And then right next to it is something that looks just like what they're pointing the arrow to. How do we know that's not part of the plane?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just a wave. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know we could. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, it really is. Before the break, we mentioned Jimmy Irsay got popped.
That was Robert.
That's the father. Jimmy Irsay got popped for a DUI with possession of a controlled substance. And the question is, should he be disciplined in any way?
No.
And it's a good question.
By the league.
Yeah, by the league. It's a good
Not
question.
Not by the criminal justice system.
How do they
yes,
do
they
that?
Should.
Because, you know, the owners run the league. They
own the league.
The commissioner works, you know, really for them. So I would hope that, you know, they had talked about this prior. Like, if any one of us get in trouble, we should have some way of kind of, you know, disciplining ourselves. Otherwise, you know, this is going to be a tough decision for the commissioner.
He says you're suspended. Irsay says you're fired.
Well, yeah.
Wait, what?
But what does it matter if an owner is suspended?
I mean, that's why some people think they should be taking draft picks for this. That should be like the punishment. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that's ridiculous. I couldn't even fathom that. And I said to Paul, like, you know, the comparison player-wise is Alden Smith. Wasn't suspended, went into a facility. Now, Paul's argument was that the league views the fact that he was in a facility for whatever it was, 5 weeks or 4 weeks, as that's his suspension. I just, I don't care for it.
I think what about the cap penalty? Like they lose cap space?
No, God, no.
No?
Because he has a personal problem. We're going to hurt their business?
To me, it's an individual thing. You know, and the argument, and I agree with Andy, by the way.
What's the end of it?
The draft pick. The argument I heard, and it was from Ben Volen, because I didn't hear a lot of other people talking about this. Ben Volen was on EEI, and he said that some of the owners have said they need to come down hard on him. And Ben's opinion was they need to take a draft pick.
Ridiculous.
And he said because, you know, when a player gets suspended, that hurts the entire team. To which I would say yes and no. I mean, obviously, depending on the caliber of player, that hurts the team. But the team is able to replace the player. Right. So, yes, you might not be able to replace him with a player of the same caliber, depending on who gets suspended. But it doesn't necessarily hurt the whole team.
And the
if you're taking away a draft pick, all these guys that had nothing to do with this are getting affected by the owner.
The flip side
is the guy's losing a job.
When a player is not suspended, he helps the team. When an owner is not suspended, he doesn't help the team. He doesn't help or hurt the team. He sits up there and watches.
Right.
So
what do you do?
I don't think you do anything. You try to get him help and try to get it fixed.
I could see a fine. Detriment to the league. Behavior detrimental to the league. But I'm with Andy on the rest.
I could argue his tweets are detrimental to the league.
Well, you know what? And I think that he treads the line there of something that needs to be looked at, to be honest with you. I know you kind of brought it up facetiously.
Well,
but
and maybe the two aren't unrelated.
Oh, I'm sure they are related.
I'm sure
he tweets on pills.
So
it's probably going to be something like, you know, our next dinner at Boca, Jimmy pays, you know, one of those things.
Jimmy pays.
I actually think it's a bigger
into Thurston Howell the third.
I'm pretty sure they don't go to Boca though.
No, Boca the place, not the Beppo.
Oh, you meant Boca, as in Raton.
Yeah,
oh,
okay, not Boca de Beppo.
Well, what's Boca?
I thought you meant an Indy.
The street from our hotel.
No.
Brian Lowe loved it. Not
a high class restaurant.
I think it's a bigger problem for the Colts than for the league. Like, how do you discipline and run an organization when your owner is doing things you're telling players not to do? You're telling players, you can go out, but make sure if you're drunk or whatever, always get a car. Or, you know, now it's do as I say, not as I do, because A, I have a drug problem. B, I didn't get a car, even though I'm a bleeping billionaire and should have a car at all times.
I think
so
a fine.
The leadership problem within the Colts is an issue.
I think a fine might be a decent compromise.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much all you can do.
Because it is a personal problem, and do you really want it affecting the business on the field or even the business in the front office?
Yeah.
Right.
With regard to the cap or the draft picks, it's no fault of the players what he was doing.
Yeah, that would be downright unfair, but we know the league has done that before.
So I would say,
see Redskins,
if you want to
find
the owner on a personal level, I have no problem with that.
Plus, you're going down the road with, what's his name? Haslam.
Right.
The Flying J.
Well, that's still ongoing.
No, I know, but it's a legal black eye. It's an issue.
Sure.
And, you know, is that a fine? Or do now all ownership issues become cap / draft pick? Mm. So that's an even, you know, and they like everything to kind of be level. Like,
right. That's why I was hoping they would have had this talked about beforehand. Well, what if one of us get in trouble?
And there's a good chance. I mean,
yeah.
They all have
You never
issues.
Know. I mean.
What, of us getting in trouble?
No, that. Well, it would be the same thing for us. I mean,
any owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant us.
No.
Well, he was saying us like as the owners.
Yeah. The 32 owners at one of these meetings say, listen.
I got to really start paying attention better.
You should.
My fault. I'm busy eating.
And watching basketball. So we're third on your list of priorities right
Games
now.
Games at the half. Oh, you're well below third.
Cavern in West Palm Beach. Two quick questions. Is John Grieger the agent for Revis or simply a business manager? I've started following Grieger on Twitter, and he's an odd guy to be representing the best corner in the game.
I believe he's known as his business manager.
Yeah,
marketing and stuff.
He's got a couple other guys. It's like a firm that his agent, I think.
Yeah, but I believe that guy is the marketing arm. He may have been the guy who did the Revis Island or whatever.
Although Stripper said he looked that up, and there is no copyright for Revis Island. So either it didn't go through with it, or it hasn't gone through yet.
Maybe it hasn't
something.
Gone through yet.
So we should start selling T-shirts.
Somewhat breaking news, Antonio Cromartie has signed a one-year deal with
the Cads.
Arizona.
Ah, okay.
They got a Cromartie again. They had a Cromartie. They got rid of the Cromartie, and they got a Cromartie again.
Also, what are your thoughts on the Tlaib Spikes article regarding injuries? As a Pats diehard fan, I'm so tired of being called a cheater or being linked with shady activity. Sounds like sour grapes to me.
Then don't read the next article on that website. I think it's much ado about nothing. I'm not quite as strong as Mike Reese, who basically said nothing to see here move along in his story today. But the Spikes one specifically, like, people tried to fluff it up and make a big deal, especially on the heels of Tlaib. But he did say, you know, that was a false report. You know, all I needed was rest and rehab. So my first reaction is, well, if you're not hurt, then what do you need rest and rehab from? Clearly you're hurt. And we all know that late in the year, guys with lesser injuries go on IR because teams just decide it's too short at this point.
See, what Spikes wasn't doing is taking into consideration the time of the year.
Right.
I think he's right that his injury probably wasn't IR to the level of IR, but at that time of the year it might have been because we don't have time for you to rehab. We need a body here.
Plus, he should have argued he was hurt more hurt than he was because who was that who bitch slapped him on the sideline over there when he limped off?
Yeah.
Spiller.
What game was that? Spiller. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You should... I know he's on your team now, and he can't make you look silly anymore, because go with the injury, because he left your jock on the sideline.
That was the one where he walked up the field yelling at the other sideline.
Yeah, but he was also because he was limping.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would go with I was hurt, so I don't look like I'm as bad a player as I did.
But along those lines, I even think that Spikes made himself look worse, and for the same reason, Andy, but it doesn't make you look better if you feel like that you weren't hurt and they put you on IR. That's right. telling everybody they didn't think enough of me. I wasn't hurt enough to be on IR, but they didn't want me in the playoffs.
Right.
They wanted the roster spot. They thought the roster spot was more valuable.
That's right.
Or the other report that was out there, which also was not flattering for Spikes, the off-field incident that was the final straw of him not showing up to work here on the Friday before the bye week of the divisional round. So either way, I don't think Brandon Spikes did himself any favors talking about that stuff.
I agree.
And the Tlaib issue is more of an issue, maybe, but you're still talking hip and thigh and I don't know. I do kind of agree with Mike Reese. I think everybody takes some liberties on the injury report. The league doesn't get what it wants. I'm sorry. You're never going to get what you want. All sports take liberties because they don't want people targeting injuries and things of that nature.
It's going to be a very interesting AFC coaches breakfast, though, on Tuesday.
Right up until Bill doesn't show up.
No, don't say that. We don't need to go through that again.
Mike in Rhode Island, question, who will have more catches next season, LaFell or Amendola, and who will have a bigger impact of the two?
Amendola.
Amendola.
We'll have more catches and more of an impact?
I say Amendola, both answers.
I think Amendola will definitely have more catches, and I'm going to go with Amendola for the second one, but that one's closer.
You see, LaFell is taking a Twitter hiatus after everybody was getting pissy in Carolina because he... Said Cam's not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yep.
Well, he's not yet.
I know, and that's what he said.
See, the part I hate about that most is not that he said it, it's that the Patriots can go to him and say, see, you shouldn't have done that. Right. And it's like... Ugh.
Because a couple sensitive a-holes in Carolina ruin it for everybody. You get a player who actually answers a question semi-honestly.
Right. So they can use that as an example of, see, you can't...
What was the question?
Why did you sign here? And you said, because I want to play with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
And I'm, you know, Cam's going to be great, but he's not there yet.
He's not there yet.
And
we should point out neither is Tom
Brady. Everybody in Carolina is up in arms.
Paul doesn't have him in the Hall yet.
Certainly not if it was based on the postseason.
No. Brady's in the Hall of Fame.
The way he's already done. Postseason stuff doesn't count for you.
Well, he was very good in the postseason for a while. He just hasn't been for a while.
Owen in Dublin.
His credentials are beyond reproach. I mean, come on, don't be silly.
Owen, excellent free agent thus far for the Patriots. All they need now is some depth at the D-line and linebacker, a solid physical safety, perhaps a tight end in the draft, and I think they're set. Quick question that you might like to ponder. He's a lock to make the Patriots Hall of Fame, but do you think Logan Mankins will make the NFL Hall of Fame?
No, but I don't rule it out.
Mankins, eventually.
His name carries some weight.
Eventually.
And he's going to, a couple more years, he's going to have pretty impressive numbers in terms of All-Pro and Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I say no, but I wouldn't rule it out.
No, I think eventually he will. He certainly won't get on first ballot.
Yeah, I don't think he will, but there's a chance.
There's enough.
I can't argue
intelligently. I've heard from
on that
other players and coaches where I say he's got that chance. You know, the respect thing and where people try to emulate him and everything like that. He, for those who are aficionados in the guard position, he seems to be the standard in his era.
Yeah.
So, and that kind of.
I just don't know enough about the line play.
Well, that's the thing.
You know, to even compare him to another guy. Like, is he.
Better than Brian Waters.
What's the, that'd be one. But even more contemporary guys, more close to his age, Jari Evans, who got the big contract. I don't know if Jari Evans is better than Mankins. I don't know if Jari Evans shouldn't even be mentioned in the same breath as Logan Mankins. It's hard.
I also think Logan hasn't played all that well the last
position.
Couple of years.
That would be my initial reaction would be, geez, it seems like around here we've been talking about how Mankins hasn't been great lately. He's been dealing with a lot of injuries. He's sort of been breaking down. Tough as anybody. Great presence on the line, but not played, right? You know, some of the last couple we've been saying, Pro Bowl, All Pro reputation kind of deal.
But it also gets
but
into
maybe he's
some
just better
stuff.
Than everybody else, even with the
well,
injuries.
But we also see plays that you never know if it's all his fault and how they're working. And, you know, the Geno Atkins play where he kind of steps and it's a terrible play action call early in a game that the play action doesn't work. I've been wondering, you know, Ryan Wendell, the centers and guards work together a lot. How much Ryan Wendell is helping or not helping Logan Mankins and how that relationship works, you know, for the Knighton. Knighton bitch slapped him in the AFC title game. Some of those things that are really glaring negative plays. You never really know what was called and what blah, blah, blah.
Are you blaming it on the coaching?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm blaming it on the center. he's not here anymore. I'm going to pull a Fred.
Mikey Vandalism, East Haven, Connecticut. What's
not
up, guys?
Not entirely gone yet, though.
I'm ecstatic with what the Patriots are doing this offseason. All excellent moves, and our roster has already been upgraded, and free agency isn't even over. One of my concerns is the length of the Revis contract. I'm very pleased we landed him, and I understand it's much too early to even be talking about this, but am I the only one that feels the Patriots need to find a way to come to a long-term agreement with Revis? Revis is one of the premier defensive players in the NFL, and the Patriots need to find a way to lock him up long-term. They offered Tlaib a long-term deal before he chose to head to Denver. They need to find a way to lock up Revis. This is a very unique situation with a player of his caliber becoming available, but we can't afford to let him walk after the season. The Patriots have struggled at the corner position, and Revis is a franchise player worth paying. I'm willing to let it play out, but I'm going to feel awful if a year from now we are out both Tlaib and Revis. The Patriots are always thinking about the future. I hope they are doing the same with the future in mind for Darrelle Revis. Will you feel so bad if he walks after they've won the Super Bowl?
Well, obviously not, but I understand the lament because I would be counted among those that was sort of disappointed when I found out the details of the contract because I think it dramatically lessens the chances of him being here more than 1 year.
Chris with a TIN says, caught up the first hour of Tuesday's show. Leave it to Fred to find the people who were making negative one-and-done comments on the Revis photo of him touring the locker room. Good, Fred. Good. All right. I couldn't help it.
Why were you trolling on the internet yesterday and getting involved in a fight with Ron Borges?
I wasn't trolling.
Borges.
I was just I follow both Ron Borges and Jerry Thornton, and Borges was giving Jerry Thornton a hard time.
So?
So I jumped in.
What are you, his mom?
I just made fun of Borges. I told him to stop trolling.
Aren't you allowed
See,
to
why
Thornton
wouldn't you
fight
make fun of
fights?
Jerry Thornton?
Because that's the side that I agreed with.
Right. So you were trolling. That's what Andy said.
I wasn't.
You went and found something that you wanted to criticize.
Now, I do it all the time, so... I'm not being critical of the act itself, but just the choice.
I only do it.
I like making fun of Ron.
I only do it with the crap sheet.
He didn't respond, though, huh?
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did?
He goes, I'm not trolling Fred. That's what he said.
Good comeback.
So what was the argument about? Because I heard them reference.
I don't even know.
I heard them reference. How do you, so you made fun of him and you didn't even know.
Yeah.
So he was on the side that you agreed with, but you don't know what the sides
really
were.
He really is acting like Andy.
It's not
now
hard.
Now that's trolling.
It's not hard to figure out what side I would be on in a Borges fight.
No,
but how do you know what they were arguing about?
But Thornton is the anti-Borges.
No, Borges,
the next critical thing
Borges
he says about the Patriots
doing,
is the first.
He was bringing out all the negatives of signing Revis, and it was just like, come on, you know?
Did he really do that?
Yeah.
Borges did what?
He was bringing out all the negatives about signing Revis
and
about
like,
the contract and all that stuff.
Because beyond the one-year contract, what were they?
I don't know. I forget. It was the money and all this stuff and...
Money's reasonable.
You know, I think Thornton said it was a really, it was a great
prime.
Move and Borges was just saying it's not so great, you know. They're, you know, and just trying to make it a negative when we all know it's a positive, unless you hate the Patriots. And
my guess, without having seen it, is and you didn't see it either, evidently.
I did, but
My guess is that it was probably blown a little bit out of proportion. Like, I find it hard to believe that anybody said it was a negative signing.
Well, you got to read it. That's what they were arguing but about.
This is going to be one of those where you two read 140 characters and interpret it differently.
No, I'm not going to be able to read. I'm not going to go back on Twitter and find an argument between two guys, one of which I can't stand, just for the sake of that.
Wait,
I mean,
who can you not stand?
Jerry Thornton is, to me, just a despicable piece of crap.
See, I don't know anything about it.
What did he ever do to you?
I just don't like the way he talks about everybody. He talks above everybody. Like, he's got the way of looking at everything. All of us are all wrong about everything. About everything. That's
Jerry
Thornton. That's the way he talks about everything.
I just thought he comes off as a Patriots homer and makes fun of it.
And he makes fun of everybody else.
No, he makes fun of himself, too.
I think that's just an exaggeration to sort
of
play a role.
He's a stand-up comedian.
He is? I just wish he made me laugh.
Why isn't he funny then?
That's my problem. He doesn't make me laugh when he makes fun of stuff.
That's besides the point, but he talks about
like Colin
Belichick,
like St. Belichick. Is that supposed to be, like, is that insert joke here? Is that supposed to be funny?
What?
Like, he says he loves Belichick, which is fine. A lot of people do.
Yes.
But, like, calling him St. Belichick, is that, like, supposed to be a funny way of saying how much I love Belichick?
Well, there's all kinds of stuff he says. Okay. You don't read it all, so you don't.
I don't read. Is he one of them? You are absolutely correct.
You have to read all the time to get the humor or
sometimes,
something?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, I'm no interest.
And
that's why I never got on the Bill Simmons thing.
You had mentioned something earlier. Is he funnier in the written word than he is?
I hope.
That's also a possibility, though. Some people, they're very clever writers, and
it's like Eric. He failed on stage, but he's not bad in print.
Our buddy No Socks says he can turn a phrase. He uses that often about Jerry Thornton. I don't read them because I don't respect the site from what they did with Tom Brady.
I
have had a personal boycott of that site.
Yeah.
I don't read it.
And I'll admit, I held that against him for a while. I didn't know that wasn't him.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. So maybe I was a little too strong on him.
He has nothing to do with that.
But I don't read the stuff that he writes. I've heard him on the radio. He's not very funny on the radio for a guy who's supposed to be a comedian. That stuns me.
Yeah.
That you just said he's a comedian.
Yeah, he
seems like a straight guy.
I guess he's, I don't know.
I don't mean it that way. I know, like, you can't say anything with him. He immediately jumps out of his, he wasn't interested at all. He immediately jumps out of his seat. Right. Oh, a double entendre. Right. Oh, I have to get involved. Gonna cure polio. With lions.
Paul's on his A game today.
He is.
Yeah.
He had a lot of energy for some reason.
Did you see his reaction?
Oh, I know.
He could not have had
his
any
Gator
less,
went up.
He couldn't have had any less interest in what you and I were talking about. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he was like attacking like a pit bull. Oh, the straight guy. Oh.
Freddie, is it offensive if I say when I leave work, I'm like Michael Sam? I'm out. Is that offensive?
Yeah, to some people.
Why? Because it's a fact.
The same thing.
In the future.
I'm leaving work. I'm out.
In the future, though, I'm not going to weigh in on this one. If you think there's a chance that something might be,
why
do you have to try it out on the air?
Fellow coworker asked me if I was white trash. I don't think that's appropriate because I had a fried bologna sandwich at Toby Keith's yesterday.
I never used
those
words.
Who asked you that? You asked him that?
I did not. Who asked you that?
I didn't ask you that.
Woman? Somebody upstairs.
Maura?
No, Gretchen.
Oh.
She yells over, I got to ask you a question, but I don't want to yell it, so come here. I go, 12 inches.
Again.
She's going to ask me an offensive question. I'll respond with an offensive answer.
I like to go with Fred. When I was 14, Fred was 16. Fred was like 12.
A poll from Johnny in L.A.
Well, down the Cape with those rich kids. You know how they are. They're just throwing around like willy-nilly.
A poll from Johnny in L.A. No, Andy, not that kind of poll. Anyhow, I asked about 20 friends whose career they'd rather have assuming the following two players retire today. Peyton or Eli? The results, interestingly enough, were split down the middle. I, for example, would rather take Eli's because, to me, it's all about the titles.
Yeah, Peyton.
So I'm wondering how you'd vote.
Peyton. I don't want to be the guy who won because Justin Timberlake put gum on the guy's helmet. Like, I don't want to be a gimmick. The guy's a gimmick.
Yeah, I'd take Peyton.
I would have no problem taking Eli's career,
but it
doesn't even belong in the same sentence as Peyton's career.
Oh, speaking of which, we're blog entry is going up soon. NFL.com, bracketology. Every year they do a bracket-based thing.
Yep.
This year it's to find the greatest quarterback. So they have 32 quarterbacks facing off. They have four separate brackets. Tom Brady is the number one seed in the present-day bracket. I forgot exactly what it's called. He's facing Eli Manning.
Present-day bracket?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
And he's facing Eli Manning in the 1-8 matchup to open things. So if you want that link, you want to go vote for Brady, check out Patriots.com. Paul, you should also check it out because Drew Bledsoe is the 7 seed in the 90s, or I forgot, it's not called the 90s.
Oh, they have different.
There's like the Otto Graham, Johnny Unitas era, then there's the Joe Montana era-ish, then there's Favre with Bledsoe, and then there's Brady and the Mannings in the 4 different eras. And yeah, Drew's got a chance. Tough early round matchup, though, against Troy Aikman in the 7-2 game.
Ooh.
Oh, a lot of Cowboys fans. There's only 8 people in the seat.
It's a 32-team tournament, not a 64. But
so Tom Brady. So I'm going to take that as he already advanced out of the first round.
Sure. He's in the third round.
Nowadays it's the third
round. Right, it's the third round according to the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
But
that's another Paul rant, by the way. We'll save it for another time.
I actually think this one is a better, you know, all these stupid things they do, top 100 lists.
Time now.
I like this one.
I generally like the brackets if it's about
Unitas, Favre, Brady and Montana are the 4 number 1 seeds. I'm fine.
Elway's not a seed? A top 4
That's
seed?
That's ridiculous, Fred. I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, he got beat out by Montana.
Brett Favre is there and John Elway's
right.
not.
That's crazy.
But it's by era. So to divvy the eras up, I think they have Elway in more like the 80s era with Montana than the 90s era with... The years are a little, it's a little weird because there's guys in like the Unitas era whose career ended in like 82 or something. And then, so there's some weird kind of overlapping.
If Elway was the quarterback of the Niners, they may have gone undefeated in the 80s.
Wow. True. It's true. He was that good.
Nolan writes in, what's the most anticipated game? Patriots versus Jets, Patriots versus Broncos, or Patriots versus Lions?
Broncos.
Broncos.
Broncos is in a runaway, I would think, right?
Why is the Lions game interesting? Unless they're letting Lions go on the field.
Unless he's being facetious.
I was thinking maybe he's making one of those jokes that they try to catch me on all the time. My sarcasm.
Do any pro teams have... Yeah, because the Broncos have the horse.
Yeah.
The
Panthers.
They have a panther?
Oh, you mean like an actual
mascot?
They should do that.
I think it would be probably a little dangerous to let a wild panther run around the stadium.
You don't think the buffalo is dangerous that Colorado has with his like 8 people tethered to it, and if one loses it, the thing starts to go ape crap?
Ralphie?
Yeah. Yeah. They should do that in Detroit.
That's
get a
crazy,
lion.
Crazy college kids. I wouldn't worry about
Don't you think real mascots are cooler?
Than Fort Field would have to be renamed.
Just
because
your team has a sucky mascot.
Does the lion get any say in it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
You have a real
are we
lion?
Higher on the food chain? Then no, you don't get any say in it.
Are you going to eat it?
No, but I'll tell it where to go and when to do it.
Unless it gets loose.
Yeah.
And then he has hand, and I will be dead, and it'll be a great story.
A great story.
I got to give him credit. He answered
said
the question.
His own death would be a
he
great
answered
story.
The question before I got to ask
While
him.
While I'm in control, the lion will go where I want him. If he gets control,
where I want him.
It's over. Do the Seahawks have a Seahawk?
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, they have a person that does it, and it
falconry guy.
So that's just slavery, too. I mean,
falcon?
That thing is trained.
It's a, yeah.
I don't think there is a real falcon because the dome. I don't
know. Oh, Atlanta, you mean.
That'd be cool, though, if the falcon just sat up on the, like, in the rafters.
I think
you know,
they did.
Pooped on people's heads.
Didn't they have one at that game? Didn't they have one in the arena that game?
Because you know how you drive down the highway and those certain kind of birds just sit there waiting for something to get hit so they can eat it?
Right.
That'd be cool if it just kind of was lurching, ready to
eat
the opponent. Yeah, but I don't think they're vultures. I think they're like a turkey hawk or something.
Let's go to Chester.
And then we'd have the guy with
the
stupid
hotline.
Muzzle.
Hey, Chester.
Oh, I'm going to reload now. Well, the lion eats him.
Hey, Chester. What's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Chester?
Your mic was off.
Hey, but before I get into my call, Andy, man, I used that Michael Stam line on my way out from my sports bar the other night. Backfired big time, man. On my way out, I had 3 guys in Jets fans sending me their numbers. So. Not cool. Not cool. Thought of you right away. Dropped my wallet.
Andy's humor is generally lost on anybody over the age of 12.
No, my humor is tremendous.
Thought I'd throw that vignette your way. But, you know, after listening to the last Thursday's podcast over the weekend, I had to shoot Paulie a message and say, hey, guys, the ship has sailed. Jared Allen's, it's a done deal in Seattle from what I hear. A hospitality guy. I hear a lot of things floating around with arrangements being made. He'll probably be signed by the morning tomorrow. So, what I understand, family's out there with him and his agent. So
the rich get richer.
Yeah, I passed that along for you, Chester, early in the show. I said I had a source. I didn't give you up. But as long as you're giving yourself up.
I heard, and just for what it's worth, I think it's pretty legit. But
anyway, where we go from here is really my question on of the day is, you know, assuming that this guy's off the table, I know I talked about it right after the season ended, is this is the guy I'd be eyeballing. Who's next in free agency? You know, do we take a chance with just the draft? I know we touched on it last week a little bit. My second question, and I'll hang up after this, but, you know, are we fine at wide receiver? I think we are. I was talking about it with Melvin in Tennessee. I feel like we're good. He kind of made that point that he's comfortable with the options out there right now. You know, a draft aside, do you guys feel like we're cool at wide receiver, or do we look to add more, i.e. a Kenny Britt or somebody else?
No Kenny Britt.
That's all I got, boys. You guys have a good day. Over and out.
Thanks, Peace. Chester.
No Kenny Britt ever. Forget that.
Yeah, I'm not in love with Kenny Britt, and it's as much to do with what I think he can offer on the field as anything else. I don't think that he's the same guy post-surgeries. If Chester's looking for the descent, he talked to Melvin, he said, and they agreed. If he's looking for someone to argue with, maybe give Eldridge a call. I'm sure he doesn't think they're set at wide receiver.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
I would like an outside threat. I would like
might
a guy.
Might have to wait for the draft, though.
I would like another receiver on the roster to sort of knock somebody off the roster.
Yeah.
And upgrade that way. I'm willing to sort of roll the dice that Aaron Dobson can be productive, more productive in year two, despite missing the whole offseason. That worries me. But I still think they need somebody else.
I think, though, we're going to have to wait for the draft at that position.
Yeah, that's fine. Because I think there's wide receivers available in the draft that could help.
He also mentioned the Jared Allen spot. We talked about him earlier. Sean Phillips would be – I would take him. It would certainly wouldn't be the luster of a Jared Allen, but I would take a veteran who's got some productive numbers at that spot. Why not?
Yep.
He wouldn't be too expensive.
Better than Andre Carter. Probably more left in the tank than Andre Carter. But nothing that I'm going to get excited about or go get a jersey.
Matt writes in, love what's been done in free agency.
When's the last time you bought a jersey?
I think the Patriots should make two more moves. They should release Wilfork and use the cap savings to sign Allen.
Shaq.
But we think that that's not going to happen. Shaq. And two, sign a veteran wide receiver to compete at a one-year deal. How would you rank the following if they'd be open to a one-year prove it deal? I think I need a bib. Prove it deal with the Patriots, and which
baby
is most
buggy.
Likely. So who would be most likely and
baby
who would you
buggy.
Like
New baby buggy.
On a one-year prove it deal? Jason Avant, Nate Burleson, Kenny Britt, Denario Alexander, or Miles Austin?
Well, I said certainly not Kenny Britt. So
I'd say it again. It was Denario Alexander, Kenny Britt, Miles
Jason
Austin,
Avant,
Jason Avant,
Nate Burleson.
I would
Nate
take
Burleson.
Jason Avant.
I'm not in love
I guess.
With any of those options.
I'm not really in love with any of them.
Not a single one of them does, I think, what I want. And that's Kenny Britt theoretically could do what I want, but I'm not sure that he can do it anymore.
Okay.
I would probably just throw a dart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing really excites me.
Miles Austin. Britt. Is he any good?
He's another guy.
I mean,
that
I've seen him make plays for the Cowboys.
He physically
but, you
know. Can't hold up.
Yeah.
He's in the mix. I mean, I considered saying Miles Austin. I'm just not
He's
really
the best
in
player, you know, the terms of the statistics, best resume.
How about Josh Boyce?
Would be Miles Austin on that.
I'll go all in.
Jury is still out on
Make
him.
Myself take the rookies and the young guys and develop.
I would rather do that than pick up any of those guys because I don't think those guys represent surefire improvement. If I can get, like Eric said, if I can get a guy in the draft that I'm, you know, sort of intrigued by, you know, second round, I don't care that I took a second in a fourth rounder last year. If I see another one this year that I think is good, now all of a sudden I've really got a nice nucleus of young receivers that I can hopefully develop, you know, moving forward.
By the way, we didn't mention Brady selling the mansion.
Oh, yes.
$50 million.
I mean, apparently,
it's got a moat.
Apparently, if he sells it at 50, it's like a $10 million profit.
That's 25% profit. Pretty
it's
good.
Not bad.
Now, does it come with or without the moat?
Oh, it comes with the moat.
Yeah.
Drawbridge.
So that's not a bad little one-year
Gargoyle.
Profit.
With the moat, but they're taking
it rubs
the water.
Me the wrong way, I'm going to be honest to you.
Why do you think they're doing it?
I thought that was Dream Home. I thought that was,
yeah.
We want my family to be able to come
well, maybe
stay
it was a whole
and have
marketing
enough bedroom.
Thing just knowing they were going to flip it.
Yeah, it's
I
BS.
It's for money.
It makes them look like money-grubbing fraud couple.
Oh, yeah, I don't have any problem with that. It's business.
Yeah. I don't like it. Don't use your family as business then. You told me when you're building it, you want your family to come stay with you. You need all these bedrooms and bathrooms. And you told me you're green. Well, you just wasted a mansion. You're so green that you built a $50 million mansion that's not even for you. That's right. How green you are.
Right.
See, this is the beauty of this
Gotta
program.
Flick my lights off for one night a year so you can build a $50 million mansion that you're going to flip the next year and build another one in Brookline and flip that, and then your little condo in the wherever the hell it is in Boston, flip that.
Andy, look at our guy on ESPN.
AJ Bell.
Another PFW in Progress alum.
So you don't like this at all?
No, it really rubs me the wrong way.
I think it's great that things like Andy is all worked up early in the show. I was all worked up about the extra point, and I just think this show is great for the random things that set us off.
That doesn't rub anybody else the wrong way?
Not as.
It seems odd to me that the California guy is not going to be living in California.
Well, until he flips this one and moves back to California.
Yeah,
and to Costa Rica.
But they already had the.
Make sure you turn your lights out in all your mansions, though.
See, that rubs me the wrong way when they tell me how, and I shouldn't even say they. When Giselle tells me how to live my life, that sort of bothers me.
How to breastfeed, toilet train.
How, you know, it's a state of mind. You know, this is what did she call it?
First of all, I'm going to take breastfeeding advice. I'm going to go with Kate Upton, not you.
The modern woman.
She knows a little more about breasts.
Was that the photo you remember, she tweeted out a shot of her getting worked on for like some modeling thing.
Like a queen.
You know, with 97 people pampering her, and she's the modern woman.
Right.
I'm balancing my motherhood with my career.
Right.
As if there's something in common with you and anybody else in this country.
It's living in such a bubble.
Speaking of the Queen, did you know the Queen of England has a servant with the same size feet that's job is to wear shoes and break them in before she wears them?
Are you kidding me?
That's good.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because it's true, it's going to be an exact match, because if they break them in a little different, then it's going to feel like somebody else's shoes.
I heard the guy's a real heel.
The guy.
Right.
There's a guy wearing the Queen of England.
Why wouldn't you say that she's a real heel?
I don't know.
Like, you screwed up what was a decent joke.
He got all excited. He did. Alone. He got it out.
I'm sorry, this usually doesn't happen.
Fred, you have no soul.
Right.
Right.
Premature punchlines with Fred Kirsch.
There we go. The phone line's starting to heat up. Let's go to Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Did you meet Brandon Spikes yet?
Pow.
No.
I'm
not really a Buffalo fan. I don't really watch those guys, really. But I overheard y'all talking about Darrell Revis. And I don't know if I'm getting this wrong or if I missed this, but I believe I saw on SportsCenter that he was supposed to pass a physical, and they would sign him for 2 years, $32 million. Am I getting that wrong?
No, that's right. That's right.
He passed his physical. He signed 2 years, $32
million. Okay, so I guess the guy wants him to sign a long-term. I don't think Revis wants to do that. He's sort of a year-to-year kind of guy.
Yes.
Unless somebody wants to give him 10 years at 160,
but the second,
he's a year-to-year guy.
Yeah, the second year, Andrew, is virtually a certainty that the Patriots will not pick up the option, because it will be a $25 million cap hit if he were to play under the contract as it is written now in year two. So that's why the caller that we heard from, or the email that we heard from earlier, is lamenting a one-year deal. It's really a two-year deal on paper, but in reality it's going to boil down to a one-year deal unless the Patriots can somehow come to an agreement with him on a different long-term contract and keep him here.
Even if the cap goes up, that would be...
That's too much.
You know, one-fifth to one-sixth of your cap. Yeah, it is too much. That's why it's not going to happen.
Right.
Now, they could sign an extension. They could, you know, rework the contract. There's no saying that couldn't happen. But right now, it looks like a one-year deal, and then we'll see.
Now, one thing I'm disappointed is that I guess they made a clause saying that they wouldn't be able to franchise tag him.
Right.
That really messed us up.
Yeah, but
I guess he was.
When you get him on a $7 million cap number this year and $12 million cash output, I mean, he has to get something too. He took essentially a $4 million pay cut for this year, so there's something that he's going to get.
Oh, okay. I understand now. Yeah, that worked out there.
But yeah, you're right. There's a good chance you'll watch him this year, and then he might not be here next.
Right.
Well, good show, guys. I'll be calling next week. Thanks.
All right, we'll talk to you.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right.
Don't be so excited.
Eddie's in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
He sure is.
Oh, boy.
Hey, guys, when it comes up to the Patriots' upcoming draft, I'm thinking that they need a tight end and a defensive end, other priorities. But I'm wondering, I prefer the defensive end in the first and the tight end in the second.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys think otherwise?
Yes, I think otherwise. I totally disagree. I think it's tight end in the first, safety in the second.
Yes, I wanted Andy to say that. I wanted him to say that.
Because I have my issues about rookie pass rushers who aren't elite. Seems like rookie pass rushers who are elite, who go in like the top 10, 15 picks, okay, they generally come in and produce, but there can be a little bit more of a variable with some of the other guys. And I have, now again, we're running out of veteran options, so I might be,
so let's trade up.
Okay, so trade up.
Yeah, I mean,
who are you trading up for?
I go the other way. I would rather have the defensive end in the first round. And I think there's been a fair amount of second and third round guys over the last few years that have been pretty productive, like Jamal Sheard.
But he's been fun, like six sacks as a rookie.
Andy, what are you looking for? I mean, I'm not going to get
at
J.J.
tight end
Watt.
And safety. I'm looking for guys that I think need to play a lot. Whereas at defensive end, they need to be a rotational player with Ninkovich and Jones.
What are you looking for from your tight end?
And you're saying no.
But what are you looking for? You're saying
I'm looking
for
him to
play a lot
in September.
Your tight end,
in all likelihood.
I understand play a lot, but what are you looking for him to do?
Catch some passes.
Like how many?
Make some plays. Depends how much Gronk misses. But I'm expecting him to contribute, to be a factor in the offense. I don't know the percentage I need out of that based on Gronk and some of the other weapons.
I'm not
but
sure.
I need him probably to start opening day and catch some passes so that the tight end position isn't a total afterthought.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the correlation would be between the amount of catches a rookie tight end would make and the six sack second or third round guys.
Six sacks, I'm going to say, is about 38 catches.
I think you're going to get about the same there from a tight end. I don't see a tight end coming in and just lighting the world on fire.
Think you could get a tight end that could catch six touchdowns. Something like that, seven touchdowns.
Okay, well, then
you know, be a presence.
Is he doing it like Joseph Fourier last year? I mean, he caught a million touchdowns, mm-hmm. but he wasn't really a, quote, presence.
No,
caught a lot of touchdowns.
If you catch six touchdowns on this offense, you're going to be a presence. You're going to be having a factor in winning some games. They're not going to be cheap.
I'm not saying Fourier's were cheap. I'm saying if he makes 20 catches and six or seven of them happen to be touchdowns, that's not necessarily a guy who came in and lit the world on fire. He just happened to catch some touchdowns.
Well,
I would take it.
If they're red zone touchdowns,
but I think that's
I would take
but
that
I think
over celebrating Matthew Mulligan. Well, woo, he caught one.
No. Come on.
But
again,
I would also.
Don't do
but
Matthew,
that's what it was last year.
But what I'm saying is
no. Don't pretend this is the Lions. Matthew Mulligan was in the end zone catching touchdowns.
No, but I'm not saying that the guy that you end up with is going to do what Matthew Mulligan did. I mean, there can be a guy. I don't think there's much difference from what you're describing in a Jabal Sheard one of those guys, second, third round draft pick, Brooks Reed. Some of those guys that have not been, they're not J.J. Watt. They didn't come in. They're not going to get 17 sacks, but they were solid contributors right away as the third pass rusher,
right.
An extra pass. We're
like,
not looking
like
for him to come in.
But you just said second or third round.
Well, I'm saying you can get – you're saying that you have to get the elite pass rusher. I think at the bottom of the first round, you can get a guy that can contribute right away in the first round.
First of all,
you're suggesting that you need to get it as
else.
An elite guy.
So now I'm getting my rotational guy in the first round, and I don't feel like I can fill my other voids as well after that.
No, but I don't want him – I'm not drafting a guy in the first round to always be a rotational guy.
Yeah, he might start off that way.
I'm content if he's a rotational guy in 2014.
So where are we getting a tight end would be my question.
I just don't see it as big a need as everybody else does.
Oh, I do. I think
because I don't think you're going to get a guy.
Why can't you get a good one in the second round? That's where Gronk was.
Maybe, but based on what I'm seeing from this draft, and maybe Safarian Jenkins, who's my top tight end target, the guy I want the Patriots to get, maybe I can steal him in the second round because of this foot injury. There's a possibility there, I guess. But I think the tight end and safety are the two big needs, and I can get
safety,
a rotational.
I think is a big need.
Like I think Jake Beckett should have been. A
yes.
rotational pass rusher.
Absolutely.
As a third round pick.
Yes.
I would take what I thought Jake Beckett was going to be this year. That's what I feel like I need. I've given up hope. Okay. Jared Allen's signed. We're not going to transform the pass rush. We're not going to take a huge jump.
I hear you.
Now I just need to be a little bit better. Whereas I still have hopes that tight end can catch more than like seven passes. And, you know, we might have a better offense when Gronk's not on the field.
So if Jake Beckett had gotten six sacks, to use the number we were throwing out. If he had gotten six sacks,
I would have been very happy.
Because he was a third round pick. If the Jake Beckett that we take theoretically in the first round gets six sacks,
but
Andy's
saying he
guy,
wouldn't take him in the first round.
No,
he wants a tight end.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Wrong.
No, Andy. Andy, not Eddie. Andy.
I'm trying to throw out a hypothetical for
Andy's
him.
Andy's right here.
If we took a Jake Beckett like player in the first round this year and he got six sacks, you wouldn't be happy because he was a first round pick?
It depends on what kind of play involves all of it.
Did he do it in like, you
That's
know,
what I mean. I mean,
does he actually have 50% play time? I'd be very happy
but
with that.
But does he actually,
is he playing
rushing?
Every down? Yeah.
I mean, is he actually a productive guy or did he get three cheap sacks and one good sack and that's really all he did all year?
Well, to me, it would be about how much he played too.
No, but I just said if Jake Beckett had gotten the six sacks, you'd be happy with it, you said.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether they were
Are you trying to trick me?
No, I'm trying to get a, legitimate answer. If Jake Beckett gets six sacks.
In the third round.
Yes.
Okay.
You're happy with it whether or not they're cheap sacks or not?
Oh, if Jake Beckett can get on the field, I feel better than Michael Buchanan having to play or me having to sign Andre Carter.
So you're, but my point is you're okay with him getting cheap sacks, but not your first round pick.
Yeah. I expect more of first round picks than I do of third round picks.
Okay. That's what I was trying to make.
Third
clear
round
here.
Picks, in my opinion, okay, he cleans up somebody else's scraps. He's there. He's product. That's production. A first round pick, I need to be a borderline starter. And productive,
but if he's in, he could be a borderline starter here if he's in the rotation with Nikovich and Jones.
But I don't need him. I have two starting defensive ends. I do not have a starting tight end, in my opinion, come September.
And you could get one.
I know
in the
we don't have
round.
To play a game tomorrow, but we do have to play a game early in September.
But I don't want to take a first round pick just because of that.
No, I don't. And as I said, the guy I have tabbed is Safarian Jenkins.
Yes.
If he's available in the second round, if I can get him in the second round,
you'd be happy with
okay,
that.
This all falls in. You guys can do whatever the hell you want with the first round pick. Take a DN, take a safety. I have tight end very high on my list of needs right now. I think it is a key need for this offense.
I agree. I just think you can get one in the second round.
Eddie, what do you think?
Well, yeah, the reason why I brought this up is because I think that a guy like, from what I've seen, Coney Ealy or D Ford, those guys, that skill set is not Jake Beckett. I think that you put those guys in with Chandler Jones and, you know, Ninkovich, I think that just helps your pass rush, which helps your press corners that you have now, and boom, your defense is instantly 10 times better than it's been in, I don't know, a decade. The tight end, I mean, I think in the second round, like Andy said, if we can get that guy from whatever his name is in the second round, great. But you can find another guy similar to that, I think, and your offense will be fine. We've seen the offense. It's going to be fine. You just need.
I saw the offense suck last year when Gronk didn't play.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I saw them go 1 of 12 on third down in Cincinnati, not be able to get the hell out of their own way.
Here's one thing I really agree with Andy on this.
One thing.
In terms of the offense, yeah. I think the single most overblown factor that I'm hearing constantly in this offseason so far is that the Patriots finished third in the league in points last year. Much like I used
it's a
to
big field Yates.
Much like I used to Curtis. Well, I've heard him say second. But
Is that not even true, how emphatic he was?
Third.
Wow, he was so emphatic, now, I gave him the Paul Perillo. I assumed he was right.
It's 1 point. You're 1 point behind the set, so it's a little bit deceiving.
No, but it isn't. That's how lists are made. There's a second, there's a third.
For years, and I think a lot of people agree
Yell at
with
him
me,
next time I see him.
The Patriots finished top five, top 10 in points allowed. And we constantly said how deceiving that was. They weren't a very good defense. They beat up on some bad teams. They shut them down, and when it push came to shove, they couldn't get off the field. They were 32nd against the pass. This and that and the other thing, right? They weren't that good. Same thing. You know, if you were 7th in the league in points allowed, you said. But right now they're 3rd in the league in points scored. I watched the offense. The offense wasn't good last year when Gronk wasn't in.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of those points were scored in bunches when Gronk was on the field.
And even when Gronk was on the field, it wasn't the same.
Oh,
it was better, but I mean, I saw them get shut out for 2.5 quarters by Cleveland with Gronk on the field.
Yeah.
That's a good young defense.
It is. It is a good young defense. But I'm just saying, don't let the fact that they scored 50-something points in a game against Pittsburgh that threw your stats out of whack deceive you into thinking it wasn't a problem last year. It was. Especially against good defenses, you had a hard time moving the ball consistently. And Andy brings up the 1 for 12 all the time. He's right. They did that twice.
Right.
1 for 12 on third down.
Yeah, you just knew it.
You could see it. You know what you're watching. You don't
right,
need a stat.
Right, exactly.
It was a struggle to score points consistently. Struggling.
Thanks, Eddie. Let's go to. Is my mic on?
I don't know. I've had like things sound weird a little bit.
Yeah,
it's been going in and out to me all day.
Let's go to Dan.
Nice job, Chris.
Dan in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
That's what she said, by the way.
Fred, I sent you an email regarding, I don't know if it's still on the table or not, but regarding treadmill desks.
Treadmill desks. What did you send? I haven't gotten to that yet.
MSN did a hard-hitting investigative report on treadmill discs. They found out that they do increase productivity, but it takes about 6 months for it to kick in, and the problems are that people fall off them.
Please get one.
Oh, we have to get one now.
And people fall off them, and people get zapped by them. So,
people get zapped? by them?
Yes.
How? Static or?
I don't know exactly what they didn't go into that.
He's going to get electrocuted.
Well,
actually, wanted,
so when you say it takes 6 months for productivity to kick in, you mean for it to be of benefit?
Yeah, for you to not be fat.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, you got to do it. Right.
They found out the productivity increases. Mind you, this was a self-reporting survey that they did.
Oh, wait, are you talking about work productivity?
Right, that's different.
Yes.
Oh, so you'll be even more productive, Fred.
That's not possible.
People fall off.
Especially not if
not possible.
Off heavy like Andy.
Especially if Brandon.
You mean if you eliminated those hour and a half bitching sessions you have with me and Andy, you couldn't be more productive?
That is productive, right?
That's what it is for me.
It's mental health.
Yeah. It's getting it off his chest.
I just wanted to talk free agency for a bit, and I was saying this last week when people were hyperventilating over Denver acquiring Tlaib, that the Patriots play 15 other teams in the season in addition to Denver next year, and that no one really has done anything apart from Denver to really, I think, provide much trouble in free agency. I mean, the most you get is maybe, you know, Indianapolis with getting Knicks. You know, it's all one player or two players here and there. So I don't recall where really giving the Patriots much trouble when they've played Dallas in the past. And, you know, we've had these free agent dream teams in the past. You know, Philadelphia drafted all those guys and yet still couldn't put together a decent defense. I'm not saying that that's going to happen to Denver, but, you know, my feeling last Wednesday was everybody just needs to calm down. But I just wanted to throw it out to you guys. Is there anyone who is really, apart from Denver, has done anything at free agency that makes them a concern to you in the coming season? And does even Denver really present that much of a threat, given that all of their defensive acquisitions aren't going to stop Manning, you know, crapping himself
right
the postseason?
Crap himself when he kicked your team,
but not against. He doesn't do that against us anymore. That's the problem.
Well,
see, that's my question. Isn't about like a team getting so much better that they've passed us? They were ahead of us.
Yeah,
you have to pass them. You're chasing them, and they believe they have improved.
Well, and I think the Patriots did make steps to do that. I think they've closed the gap.
And by virtue,
they didn't close
the
gap between their defensive line and Peyton Manning.
Even if they're somewhat healthier, then the Patriots are going to be better than they were last year because health was such a factor.
And the same thing with Denver.
Not as much.
I know.
And I would also argue again.
I was afraid on that poll. Injuries hit the Patriots.
No team in sports has ever been decimated like that.
See,
I understand.
Now he has to get started.
Because you guys refuse to
acknowledge. And then they bring in kangaroos.
You guys refuse to acknowledge that there's other teams that lost a lot of starters.
Yeah, but not as much on defense as the Patriots.
Yeah, but when I give you the raw data, you just say that guy's not good. So it's not any. Well, okay. It's not really
all
good
right.
to argue with you.
All right.
Chris Harris is a good player. You just don't know who he is. He tore his ACL. Vaughn Miller's a good player.
They didn't lose him as early in the season as Patriots.
There's always another qualifier for every time.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is when you played in January, both teams were well below 100%.
Sure.
That is true, yes.
That's the only point I'm trying to make. So everybody wants to give all of the guys that the Patriots were missing a big, you know, it's like Madden. Our rating went up 5 points because we're getting all these guys back, but no one's affecting all of the other teams that were missing guys.
And
by the way, when we play again in January this year, there'll be five or six other starters that aren't playing on both sides because that's just the way it happens
year. The Patriots are, you know, more than usually decimated. And if it had been a little bit better, they'd been playing at home in January instead of Denver. So.
Exactly, Fred.
That was well timed. My biggest issue is, and I know we've improved the pass coverage, we haven't improved the one area that was, to me, most glaring in that game. You didn't get anywhere near Peyton Manning.
Right.
That is true.
That's why I wanted... Yeah, you give me a list of terms I have to describe, and I have to describe what Omaha is? What is Omaha? I don't know what Omaha is.
That's why Eric and I did the one-on-ones. I left the Tufts linebacker to do the
flip is Omaha.
Omaha! Like, well, you can say what it could mean.
What Peyton Manning yells at for a play.
Yeah. I don't know what it could mean. It could mean anything.
No, but what you say is when they say these things before a snap, of which Omaha is one, it could mean a
because I thought the Patriots for a while had Omaha, and
it
was an opposite call.
It was.
It was an opposite call?
And with that glaring end of pass rush, do you see Bill's aggressiveness in free agency carrying over to the draft at all and him trading up?
No.
No, I don't think they have enough ammunition.
Care to elaborate?
I'm with Fred. They don't have a ton of ammunition. There's a lot of other teams that can do a lot more different things. I don't think it philosophically makes sense for everybody to tell us it's the deepest draft in NFL history, and Bill goes, I want less picks in that draft.
I agree.
So deep, I just want to get one guy and roll the dice with him.
If it's as good as everybody says, then I don't see the reason why you would want to.
Right? So it doesn't seem to make sense.
Which is unless why you probably will.
Unless the only way it does make sense is... is if, you know, it's a Revis guy in the draft where you say, I love that guy. I really think he's going to be good. And because of the depth of the draft, there's more teams willing to draft to move down, and you have more dance partners.
Right. Ford but, intrigues me. D Ford.
But there has to
be
a guy
Ford
that you just absolutely love.
Eddie brought him up.
Well, it should, I know. Well, it should be a guy that everybody loves, not just you.
No,
because
no,
we don't want to have a Tavon Wilson part two.
No, I know what
you're
saying.
That was well done.
I know what you're saying, but for the Patriots.
It has been an hour and 45 minutes. We haven't ripped Tavon Wilson
yet. But he's right.
But it has to be somebody the Patriots absolutely covet.
And hopefully
and
somebody
else thinks
he's good.
Too.
No, because if everybody else does, they're not going to have a shot at it.
No, but there has to be a consensus that this player is good.
Not
everybody thought that Tavon Wilson was good.
I know.
Nobody thought Tavon
Nobody
Wilson
did.
Was good.
But except the one that
somebody
matters.
Else needs to think that this player
I
is
know,
good.
I know, but what everybody else feels isn't going to sway the Patriots.
Exactly. Andy just said...
You're totally missing his point.
If Bill acts in a way that makes sense to everybody else in the draft. Now, did you see the flaw in that statement, Andy?
No, I don't actually believe Bill Belichick does things just to be different.
I don't either.
I think he does them when he thinks they're right.
Right.
And
exactly.
I respect
and that's what
Kevin
I have had
Colbert.
Enough of.
I think Kevin Colbert
I've had enough of
you don't
about.
Like him thinking he's right.
No, I've had enough of him standing on an island in terms of the draft.
And I think his scouts have too, if you read the War Room.
Yeah.
That's what Eric's point is. Mm. He wants someone that people are universally of the belief is a special player, not just
like Robert Quinn.
Yes, exactly. Everybody thought he was going to be good.
We had a cover that said you should have picked him, Bill. We were right. You were wrong.
We don't want everybody to convince Bill that a certain player is great. We want a player that Bill thinks is great,
right.
That everybody else thinks is great, too.
We would like that.
We don't want him telling, I almost called him Oscar Meyer, Urban Meyer that, no. Cunningham's better than Dunlap. I know what I see, Urban.
There's an endless line of guys like that. Where they seem to be the only ones that valued a guy
in
such a spot.
Don't say they. I think that's unfair. Him.
Well, whatever.
Well, there's been enough of these whispers that Patriots scouts get pissy, that he swoops in and changes the grade or, you know, the stacking of certain players that I don't want them lumped in. And I bet you that pisses them off because it does make it look like
sure.
Whoever scouted Illinois that year gave Tavon Wilson this huge, massive grade above everybody else and the Patriots just had to take him. That's not fair to the scout. If the scout had him rated as a 6th-round pick where he probably should have gone late in the draft and Bill swoops in, right? That
right.
should be on Bill.
Right.
You're going to get the credit if it works. You sure as hell should get the blame if it doesn't.
Fair point.
And I think he does get the blame.
Except Paul just said they. What's he got, a mouse in his pocket? He says they are very good draft. No. Paul says he is a very, very good drafter, but they screwed up on Tavon Wilson. See, he did it right there. Right there.
All right. Thanks,
Bill screwed up on Tavon Wilson.
Thank you.
Let's go to Ken.
He does get the blame.
In Carolina.
Yeah.
Hey, Ken.
Felger calls him out. That's they.
Hello?
Hey, Ken.
Well, and then Master says, yeah, right.
Good.
Have you guys heard any more about Vince Wilfork?
No.
Well, we did get a report today. Oh, Jerry Thornton, you said, is saying that it's that they've reached an agreement.
Yeah, nothing reliable, though.
Right?
No, we haven't gotten.
If he's going to be in the media now, don't we have to cite him?
Yeah, let's. Jerry Thornton says it's going
to
get done.
Doesn't have to be reliable.
No, but now if we say that
journalist slash comedian Jerry Thornton says,
let's hope he's a better journalist than comedian.
Yeah, really.
And I didn't. I shouldn't even like be unfair. I didn't hear him.
Fred heard it.
That.
No, but it's got an email.
I mean.
Oh, we got an email that said. I thought you heard it.
No.
Okay.
We got an email that said.
We're
they
really getting this.
We got an email that claimed
now
there was
like
a,
third hand.
A stripper or a prostitute that would sleep with Vince if he stayed.
In all seriousness, now it could have been.
Yeah.
What if?
I was afraid to click on it in my office. Yeah, there was some prostitute or stripper or somebody, porn star, that said she would sleep with Wilfork if he stayed with the Patriots.
Yeah, I didn't open it.
Bianca said, "Hell no."
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want to face her. Yeah, I mean, we heard so much last week, and then it was dead.
Is this Big Al?
No.
Oh.
Ken Bush.
Okay.
It's Ken.
Bush?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
But, I just wanted to know. if you guys had heard anything about him.
No, I. It's been pretty quiet since he seemingly emotionally on the Revis day kind of put out the report that he wanted to be released. Now, some people, like Paul said, some people believe, oh, it's going to get done, it's done, whatever.
It could.
Who knows?
The Will Fork thing?
Yeah.
I don't believe
Paul
it's
never
get
said
done.
That.
No, like you said, some people believe.
Some people believe.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we'll know sometime next week, one way or the other.
Because I don't think he's going
to
be back.
Well, we're
going
to talk to the coach and the owner next week.
I don't think he'll be back.
That's what I mean.
No.
I think
that's just my opinion. I don't have anything to base it on. I haven't talked to anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think.
I think he is.
I think he's going to. I think he wants to be released.
I think he will be back.
He will eventually be released.
I think he will be back. I think that his agent's out. Well, again, who's his agent?
I hope you're right.
But I think that they're out there trying to find out what the market is, and they're going to realize that there's no place like home.
And the longer they wait, the less.
I think Kennard McGuire is his agent.
See, I had heard that he was doing it himself.
25 years old.
That's part of it. Yeah, he's 32.
No, the money is drying up. He's not getting any younger.
He's coming off a serious injury.
Right.
Yep.
I just don't see a lot of teams shelling out money for him.
We're in agreement.
From my side, this is an emotional thing. I like the guy.
Me too. I think the Patriots are a better team with him.
I want him back.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's emotional on a lot of sides. I think it's Vince being emotional.
Sure it is. And I think once you get the emotion out of it, I think he'll
say. And maybe
say,
that's happened.
It's better to be here.
Maybe he has already come down from that, all right?
Yeah.
I hope so.
All right, see you, Ken.
Okay, thank you, man.
All right.
I can't take a
Doesn't that sound like Big Al?
I don't know. You were going to give him enough time to talk.
You are letting all the callers hang on the line today. Like,
you have
forever.
You have a way to get rid of them. Not that I wanted to get rid of you, Ken. I'm just saying, you know.
No, I want to hear from everybody.
We like
though.
To keep rotating them through. We like, you know, emails, callers, global. We got people in Australia that are going to give us an update out of Perth as to whether that Malaysian plane was there or not.
Jim says that on Jerry Thornton,
Jimmy.
Reminding us that he reported the Brandon Brown signing hours before ESPN and the NFL Network. So maybe he's got a pipeline. I don't know.
He's got a pipe in his, I mean.
Adam in Alexandria.
I didn't know he did that either. So
I can't.
Good for him.
I can't dispute it. How can
Brandon Browner was the one who reported?
He
it.
Did, but I, you know, evidently Jerry did it before that.
I don't see tight end as nearly as important of a need as most people seem to this year.
I am with you.
I want the best available pass rusher, playmaking, strong safety, or even the right kind of wide receiver like Kelvin Benjamin or Allen Robinson before tight end. Take a development guy in the mid rounds or sign a solid backup type in free agency.
That's exactly how I feel.
The idea of building your offense and investing that kind
Arthur
of money
Lynch.
In two tight ends, even before Hernandez turned out to be a murderer,
that
was kind of
up.
A silly, in my opinion.
Arthur Lynch is a nice long term option.
As a
I
second
don't think
tight
he
end.
Can come in and start in September.
I don't need him to
even
do
Even though
that.
He played in the SEC, which is the NFL of the CFB.
Listen, how do you feel? How do you feel? I know what you're talking about. How do you feel the Patriots? What do you think of the Patriots' chances if Gronkowski weren't available in January?
What?
If Gronkowski weren't available in January. So why are we so worried about what happens in September? It's all about what happens in January.
But he's hurt now.
No, I understand
that.
He
should be healthy in January unless he has a new injury.
But what I'm saying is.
So September is most likely that you have to play without him.
I am anticipating having to play without him in September.
Correct.
And much like last September, I really don't care that I have to play without him in September. I cared, however, that I had to play without him in January.
Well, what if we
that be a problem?
Real teams in September.
It's okay. You're still going to win the division, and you're still going to play in January.
If I go 1-3 in September, I don't know where it goes from there.
Okay. You can always lose. I understand.
Yes, it's easier to lose than it is to win.
I know there's no such thing as a sure thing, but do you honestly believe, regardless of the schedule, that they can go? They'll be 1-3 if Gronkowski doesn't play.
I can't.
I'm asking you. Just.
I don't know. I don't know who they're going to play.
You call me stubborn. He knows they're not going to be 1-3.
I don't know who.
I said regardless of who they play. So pick whatever the four toughest games you think.
What,
do you think they'll go 1-3 in them?
Something else there.
Whatever the four games that you deem the most difficult. Denver, Green Bay, who
Chicago?
Else do we play? Who else do we play?
Chicago.
That's good?
Chicago?
Yeah.
The Lions are a bad matchup.
Do you think we're going to be 1-3? Probably not.
Probably not.
Do you think we're going to be playing in January?
Probably.
Okay.
But
I don't want to take
a
guy in the first round to fill a gap between now and when Gronkowski's healthy.
Oh, so you think Gronk will be fine and never miss games again?
I didn't say that.
Well, then I need
but
to
I have
prepare
to go
for
into
Gronk to not be out there as often as possible. Correct?
I can get, but I can get.
Is this
going
to be one of those where Paul and I get into a big fight just as the show's wrapping up?
No, because I think.
Shut up, fathead!
No, because I think it's actually a reasonable way to look at, You think that they need a tight end now who can step in and play in September.
Yes.
I think they need a second string tight end. So we're not arguing. We just think
you want a crappy one. You want like a third round.
I don't want a crappy one.
Not that Arthur Lynch. He would be a very good option.
And that's why I picked him, because I knew you would take it seriously. Because he's your boy.
If he played with Gronk, okay, they would be fine.
If they
he doesn't play with Gronk.
But my point, in 2014, if Gronk is not in the equation, I don't care who the other guy is, you're in trouble.
But I'm assuming
you're not
at
getting
some point
Sabarian Jenkins, who's going to make everything okay if Gronk gets hurt.
Oh, I think he can try and catch 50 balls, 40, 50 balls.
Not without Gronk.
Oh, I do.
No way.
I certainly do.
I mean, 40 or 50, and I'll use your thing. I want to see the 40 or 50 catches before I just say if that's any good.
Yeah, are they Brandon Lloyd catches, or are they?
No, they didn't throw him 172 passes to get 50
that's
receptions.
That's what he wants to know.
Right, and I want to know if he made any. He made any plays with them too.
And
he will.
He will. Guaranteed red zone plays if we draft him.
Guaranteed.
Frank from Virginia writes in, as a Patriots fan, I take issue with the statement that Tlaib made about how Belichick and the team report injuries. In his statement, he minimizes the extent of his injury. However, in two AFC championship games, he was not able to play through them. Did Belichick
first of all get your facts right, because he left the AFC championship game with a deep bruise, a totally new injury.
And he didn't minimize the injury. He suggested it was something different than what the Patriots
did
said.
Did Belichick prevent him from going back into the game? Tlaib got his contract, and at least he should be grateful to this team for being a stepping stone to a big contract signing. His comments were not graceful at all.
And yours were not based in fact.
Yeah,
you missed
the entire point of his comments, whether you agree with them or not. His point was,
I don't know, if I was
called
Bill,
it
though, I'd be a
different.
Little bit peeved. You know, I stood up for this guy, and now he's kind of making fun of me.
But he doesn't think that you stood up for him. He thinks you tried to cost him money in free agency. That's what Aqib Tlaib thinks.
Railroading him with a chronic hip injury.
I'm not saying that you're right. He's right or wrong. I'm saying Tlaib's saying this, he is suggesting that the Patriots always called his injuries a hip because he had a pre-existing hip injury in Tampa, and they're trying to suggest that it's a chronic thing in an effort to keep his market value down.
And by the way, it worked for people like us because we talked about it all the time.
Yeah. How many people said they wouldn't give Tlaib the contract that Denver gave him because of the injury?
Now, even more people also chimed in and thought he missed this AFC title game with the hip injury. A lot of people seem to have lumped that in.
I thought that.
Yeah, but you think Gronk didn't break his arm?
No, but based on what I had heard, I thought he aggravated the hip injury.
Right.
I didn't realize he hadn't had a hip injury since Tampa.
Well, we also knew it was a knee injury.
We also don't know if a key
I don't
Tlaib
know what
does.
It was.
No, we do. We saw him getting his knee inspected on the field and limping off and touching his knee. We knew it was a knee injury, and then they corrected it after the half and said it was a knee injury. Sorry, our bad.
Right.
This is what
and
Tlaib
he also had a weird wrap on
Eric
the sideline for a thigh. He had it where it goes around the waist and the leg, which is generally more of a groin / hip / joint issue because it holds everything. If it's just a thigh, it's usually wrapped
just around the leg. Yeah.
So that's plus. I don't know how honest Aqib Tlaib is.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's why I said I'm not
Suddenly,
saying I believe him.
The guy who came here on suspension and beats people with guns and smoked pot is now what he says is the God's word. It's truth.
For all we know, before he was signed, he told the Broncos, I don't have a hip injury, and his statement afterwards was just following through on that.
Right.
Right.
But my point is, I don't know if I can
trust
him
as far
as I can throw him.
Well, he might be.
He might be. That's why I say I'm not taking Tlaib's side of this.
Right.
All of a sudden, we're going to take his word as gospel?
He might
the guy came here as a criminal.
He might be lying his beep off, as Eddie Murphy said in Beverly Hills Cop.
What's the beep for? Ass?
Ass. Yeah.
You had to bleep that back then?
I don't like swearing.
We used to have a drop-in for
Only to your kids.
Right.
Radio bad.
When
kids good.
Try to make a point.
Quote for emphasis.
Emphasis.
Emphasis
on the wrong syllable.
Ain't you going to make out, too?
Come on, Dayton.
You're
dating
not dating.
Now? No.
I didn't know this was advanced to that stage.
Dayton.
Let's see. Christian Simonelli says Jerry Thornton Jerry Thornton called the LaFell signing before it happened, not the Browner signing. Okay.
All right.
The new Adam Schefter. And he's about the same humor level, too.
Brandon LaFell.
Blake from Vegas. I'm worried about
Brandon
losing
LaFell
Vince.
Signs and you didn't know about it.
That was Sunday night. I'm trying to think of the timeline. That was Sunday night, correct?
I have no idea.
Okay. Blake from Vegas. I'm worried about losing Vince's run stuffing and leadership abilities. I think it was Andy
who
was poo-pooing the notion that teams don't win or lose by running the ball or the ability to defend
Paul.
It. It
that's
seems
Paul.
Like Vince is most likely gone. Do you know if we were ever looking at B.J. Raji as a potential replacement? I thought he would have been a nice signing and only ended up getting a cheap one-year deal with Green Bay. What are the other free agent options at defensive tackle now?
Paul.
Would you give Vince that cheap one?
Eric, you got your free agent list.
Would you give him $4 million a year for the next couple of years
today
to tack on to this year?
There's a lot of defensive tackles available.
He's talking about the draft.
He's asking about free agents.
He's asking about free agency. That's an RLADS guide you have open there.
And it probably doesn't include like Kelvin Benjamin.
No, but this has. I have the free agent list here.
Okay, so what do you have?
I don't know if these guys have been signed because they still have Eric Decker as a free agent. So, Randy Starks, Jason Hatcher,
both signed.
Linval Joseph
signed.
I know Melton signed. B.J. Raji signed. Yep. Paul Solaie.
Signed.
Jonathan Babineau.
I believe he signed, but I'm not positive on that.
So. Tony McDaniel.
No idea.
Out of Seattle, Pat Sims, Clinton McDonald, Kevin Williams.
Kevin Williams is available, as far as I know.
I thought he retired three
Ziggy years. Hood.
So did he. Ziggy Hood is signed.
Feely Mo'ala. Andy?
Touchy.
The guy that the Colts signed, right?
Earl Mitchell. Yes.
Earl Mitchell signed. I don't know about Vance Walker.
Yeah, so this
most of those guys are gone.
But now you get down to that list, like Andy said. You know, you read these guys and you realize, oh, they started quite a few games. You know, Cam Thomas, Johnny Jolly.
I don't know about Jolly, but
Gary Gibson.
John.
That would be another Patriots like signing.
Colin Cole, older guy. Guillon signed.
Yep. Letois.
Paul. He visited though.
Landon Cohen.
Old friend.
Brandon Dedrick is out there.
Yeah, no thanks.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I did a poll right there.
So this
now you're to the point where you're talking about players that you've cut.
That's got to be a foul. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Paul, we're doing a football show. We're not watching the basketball.
Frosty Rucker?
Signed.
He signed?
Oh, yeah, of course you got that call. Unbelievable.
He's carrying on two conversations at once.
No, just one.
Paul's watching basketball. All right, anyway, we're going to end the show. It's 2 o'clock. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Paul's got to get back to basketball.
Good luck in your billion-dollar brackets.
For those of you that were smart and got in that billion-dollar raffle, Andy and I were late to the party.
We will sponsor the show if you win $1 billion and pay us more.
It'll be Mikey Vandalism by the PFW in Progress.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
You know he's in.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.